February 12, 2015, FPOM.
See, John, the way this was written for FPOM, this update for the schedule of the...
Those are healthy.
It was written with several updates inside. It can be really simple. Just saying, by just saying, David did it on the phone.
Licky coming, you guys know?
I don't know. It looks like he just sent some comments in an email suggesting that he...
Three almost done, so we could probably get to work on two. And it's going to be done by March.
Charlie, I think he's got to call that.
Birthday thought.
Oh, okay. This is a meeting I went to on the 20th.
Yeah.
And then it just broke it down to the
other.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, so
it's
I don't know if you're talking about you or not.
I think I'm resolved.
Yeah, I know.
But that's what Walmart
wants
to teach. Yeah. There it is. Simplify. This was a little more.
We got
two.
Any more what? Yeah, we have. Actually, there was one more last night. It's the Lorena ladder of being able to water up one time.
Well, you know, mine's for 4 months.
And then right now, we've got a whole new series of comments from U.S. Fish on hatchery impacts for Dvorak Unit 3, which I can't read here, but...
Get around it.
I was looking for humans, not here. Well, the guy's got a whole series of process.
But anyway...
Yeah, so Charlie's going to get your gun.
That's the plan.
You guys ready? Everybody ready?
Get it on.
So answer your question.
Take charge here, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's get started. So those on the phone, I don't know if you can hear us or not because we're in the tribal conference chamber. Okay, I talk into this thing. All right, so let's get started. Those on the phone, why don't you go ahead and let's do a roll call. Who's on the phone? I heard some people from McNary.
Yeah, this is Bill Gertz talking to McNary, and Bobby Johnson's on as well for a few more minutes.
Okay, anybody else? Who's that?
Joe Scalicki.
Oh, Joe, you're in. Okay. Anybody else? Is that it? Anybody else?
Hey.
That's plenty.
Okay. We have a bad result on the line. You're very, very quiet. We can hardly hear you.
Really? Well, I'm talking into a speaker. I'm in the tribal conference, so this chamber, this okay. Thing, it's all wired up. Can you hear me better now? Okay, so those in the room, you're going to have to press the button and talk, and you know how it goes.
You can only have up to five simultaneous.
Okay. So anybody else on the phone want to identify themselves? If not, let's go around the room. We've got myself, Bernard Platt.
Tom Morris.
Charles Morrill.
Gary Fredericks.
Eric Van Dyke.
Scott Benton.
Lisa Wright, Corps.
Bob Werfenberg, Corps.
Scott Fielding, Corps.
Nathan Zorich, Army Corps.
Trevor Conner, NOAA.
Bill Heavlund, NOAA.
John Daly, Corps.
Ann Sutter.
Tammy.
All right, that's everybody in the room. Before we approve the minutes, is there anything anybody wants to add to the agenda?
Yes, Walla Walla. So we have some updates. I think Eric is on the phone to give a quick update on Ice Harbor construction delay. Bill Gerbach is on the phone. He has a late add, which is a small leak at the Washington Fish Ladder count window. And then we have one more late ad that's just a quick update on a delay of parts for at Lower Granite that affects rewatering the ladder.
Okay, anybody else have anything to add?
Yeah, this is Joe, Fish and Wildlife. I forwarded an email that was a comment from the hatchery managers on Warshak.
Okay.
Not a lot of new there, it's just more or less FYI.
So this is the written documentation maybe from the meeting that we had a week ago with them where they shared some comments verbally, or are these different comments?
No, they are comments on the official coordination request.
Okay, so is there anything, I guess, maybe we'll give you an opportunity later just to comment if there's anything new there.
We can do that.
Yeah, we can talk about it later.
And you just forwarded that to Ann?
No, I forwarded it to the whole group.
Okay. You have to write it down for me tonight. Thanks. You guys have anything to add to the agenda?
No.
Any comments on the January minutes? If not, I'd like to approve those. All right. Anything exciting going on your Blackberries over there, guys? Should I pick up mine and see what's coming in?
They're playing Minesweeper. They're playing Minesweeper.
All right. All right, so let's get started right off the bat with the action items for Walla Walla.
Fern?
Yes?
I'd like to request that we move one item on the agenda up to the 10 o'clock time slot, and that is a discussion on monitoring on the
stake,
so I would put out
if
Pastor
Chenna
can join
us. Sure. Where is that? 8.15?
3.15.
So 10 o'clock. Yeah, we can do that, no problem.
Thank you.
So, first action item for us, Vern, maybe we could go ahead and let Joe just give the update since we did receive, I think, written comments from Tom specific to Dvorak Unit 3, and the only thing we had left out was whether we were going to get additional comments specifically either from the Nez Perce Tribe or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at the hatchery specific to this outage. We did have a meeting, an AOP meeting last Monday. Both parties were present. We took Steve Hall, who some of you are familiar with from TMT. He spoke in terms of the water management issues, and largely what we heard at that time is that the hatchery would work to try to work around the TDG issue in terms of release timing and possibly look at altering release location for the on-site releases. So if you have some other concerns in addition to that, Joe, maybe you could share those now.
I don't know how much of them are actual concerns, just rather than reiteration of what happened in past years. When levels were up to 115, they did see TDG levels in the hatchery of around 103, but there's additional degassers going in this year that should help to mitigate for that. One thing that I was unclear of is what level of modeling or forecasting would be done to bound the range of conditions that could occur. I think some of this was done in the past, but wasn't sure what was going to happen for the year when the actual work would occur.
Well, I don't know if you're looking for an immediate answer on that. There's generally weekly modeling forecasting that water management does, and then there's a discussion that's brought to the TMT group. So that's in-season management.
Right. And the other note in their comments is, I guess the core last year or the year before, did an evaluation of hatchery, and they did have some recommendations, and I think their top recommendation was to install a new pipe to the dam to get water that was basically TDG-free. But that's obviously not going to happen before the rehab, and at this point, I think it's just an idea.
Okay. Well, that is... Right. That topic specifically will be further discussed as we look at the options. The Corps still has not sanctioned which option that will be part of a rehab. So there will be ongoing dialogue specifically with the hatchery staff on that as we go into late spring, early summer, etc. So if that's it, I think we can move on. Thank you.
Okay.
So the next thing, Bill Hevelin last month asked us to prepare MOCs that might be overlapping. So, and we also had an inquiry specifically on this from Russ Kiefer that's somewhat similar, and that was that it was starting to get confusing to understand just what all we were going to be having going on in 2015 and particularly 16 in terms of outages that may come together even though they were at different projects and start to influence fish passage. So with that in mind, we had three documents that were attached to the agenda. One of them is just an Excel file, and it's kind of color-coded, and it just walks through some of the things that we know right now are scheduled, but there's a lot of other things, particularly at Lower Granite, that are scheduled. The other document is one that Scott Fielding put together, and that covers all of the FFDRWG for Walla Walla, where they've done coordination. I think it would be good to review that. Scott is later on the agenda to talk about one item, which is the Tremi concrete pouring in the slots adjacent to the Wagner Horn that were the first step of getting prepared for the 2016 August outage and the progress that they have made. So we'll get that update a little bit later. And then I put together what I call long-term summary request, outage summary requested by Bill, and that was what, from an FPOM standpoint, we had on file in terms of outages. So if people have specific questions, I think we had a couple questions from Tom. One of them was the Lower Granite Unit 1 update. That's a little bit later on the agenda. Lower Monumental, return to Kaplan, both of those are scheduling issues, which at this point in time, all we've ever done in the FPOM forum is talk about an outage. We've had the PM on the phone. We have never put in a formalized coordination. We did have a request from NIMS that as we move forward with these, that we do put in a written MOC, and so that will be something that we'll be working on here in the near term as we move forward. I will give an update on where we're at currently with the scheduling for Lower Granite when we get to that later in the agenda. And we just heard from Joe on the Dvorak Unit 3 overhaul, so right now the schedule on that hasn't changed, and I think I wanted to ask people, I know this was a lot of information, it was kind of late getting out, so unless people had specific questions that they wanted to ask either myself or Scott Fielding, I think we might be better off just to take a lot of this information and push forward and prepare specific questions, and then for the next FPOM we could come back to fill in any other information. But as we go through today's agenda, if there's anything that comes up that people want us to try to address today, we'll be happy to do that.
Silence.
So are there any questions from any of the reps at this point, or would you like to go through the information and then come back to us?
Thanks so much, Ann, for doing this. And I think we ought to give us a month to look over this. This is real good start. I really appreciate it.
No, I mean, I think hopefully with the information you provided, that will answer some of our questions. If we have additional questions, we'll ask them at that time.
Okay, thanks. I think that allows Walla Walla to move on.
Okay. So the Portland action item is a PNPED meeting. Has that been set up yet, Ben? Or
yeah, Ben took care of that. He provided us the information for the meeting, and we're good to go, right?
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll jump down to updates. Agenda item three.
PBR. Nice work.
Ann, you want to start Walla Walla updates?
Sure.
You can probably just go right into the McNary so you can deal with that.
Okay. Since you guys are on the phone from McNary, Bill, if you want, do you want to just make a quick comment on the small leak you discovered yesterday at Washington Fish Ladder? And then we'll move right into asking people if they've had a chance to review the debris management plan. I'll mention the late comments we got from the project, and I anticipate that the discussion on that may be minimal since people may or may not have reviewed it, but I think we probably have some comments at least. So first off, I had a late email last night this morning from you, Bill. Do you want to just a brief comment on your situation at the Washington Fish Ladder?
Sure. We went over there. We were monitoring, had my operators go out, and they put a mark on the concrete and ink and just sort of watching to see how much it actually flows, and it's a bit smaller than originally reported. So we're just going to monitor it. It's probably, a tablespoon of water every 2 hours, we're thinking. So we'll just watch it to see if it gets worse or if it gets better. And I'm hopeful that as the climate starts warming, the rubber will get softer and everything will expand a little more and it'll seal up a little tighter.
Washington Fish Ladder.
We're thinking it just may have dried out when the Washington Fish Ladder was dry, it just needs to reseal again.
So you want to tell us, is it like a bottom right hand corner of a window?
Bottom left hand corner.
Our participant has joined the conference.
Okay. So that,
as you're standing there counting fish, it's the bottom left-hand corner in within the first 2 inches or inch and a half.
Okay, so we ought to be able to go through the season until next year, hopefully, with that.
If it becomes, if the leak gets worse, we have to put more effort to overcome, sopping it up, mopping it up, cause damage in the room, then we'll address it then, but we don't think it'll become worse.
Okay. So let's move in and ask any of the reps if there are up front any comments to the McNary debris plan. We did have one late comment, and I don't know, Bill, do you want to address that or do you want me to talk through? I think in particular there was a section that talked about rolling units, and we were asked to delete that.
Not so much delete the rolling unit. At least the portion that we feel is a miscommunication is that rolling units will cause damage to the thrust bearing. And we were just having some issues on a couple of the units that were reworked, and it just worked out that when they're running warm and everything is fine, you shut them down. If there were considerations that had to be taken into effect since then, but when we reached hot oil, what ended up happening is we didn't get good lift and it ended up wiping that bearing. So it's not the trash that's causing that concern. I was expressing to Carl that was my concern. I don't want to get into this habit that we can just instantly go out there and roll trash whenever we want to, because it takes a lot of units down to do that, to get the trash to break away from a certain area and roll. And if we have a unit that's out for, like we've discussed in the rest of the draft, that's out for maintenance, let's say unit 12, 11, or 14 towards the end over there, that blocks the trash from getting it pushed out past those. We can't overcome a dead unit when we have suction on both sides of it.
Okay, so I guess there may be some additional comments. I thought it was a little more straightforward just for the group today, because the comments I saw from Tim were on section 2, number B, the last sentence should be removed. So just for people's awareness, that's our moving forward. I think that's our most general comment at this point. So why don't we let the group here let us know if they've had a chance to review it and if they have any comments that they'd like to provide at this time.
And I have had a chance to review it. I thought that section in 2, B, C, D, and E were the weakest part of the document, to tell you the truth, because if the bearings were a problem, then I don't see the rolling the units is even an option. So why include it? So if we're going to take that out, if that's not a problem that you can still, and you can still roll the units and move debris, then you leave that in as a as an option with the caveats that there are issues with it associated with down units. So I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I have several comments. I mean, I thought it was a good, first I'll say, I thought it was a good, you know, a good draft, a good start. Really appreciate it. Particularly, I'm impressed with the first section on working with keeping those trash racks clean. There's some clarifications I'd like to see. I think what I'll do is just send you some comments on that.
Okay.
Rather than talk about these today. But, yeah, and I'd really like to see, I think maybe the main thing I'd like to see is some schedules on long-term solutions. You know, there were several things that were mentioned there. And those, some of those could be really good things to have. I'm not quite sure, you know, what it requires to make those happen, but I would like to see some scheduling associated with that so that we can, you know, either see that it's not going to work or that we have some, you know, checkpoints along the way so that keep track and keep a little pressure on folks to follow up on that. And in that same section, the last one, that was a question, number five, I have no idea what that meant. Make adjustments via construction projects to allow TSWs to be operated during the summer months, huh?
So both of those are like kickouts back to like CRIFM projects. I mean, they're not anything we can undertake with O&M, but I don't know if you recall back right after we had the TSWs installed at McNary, there was some discussion of changing things on the tail race side so that the survival was better. And so I think that's what we can clarify that language, but that's what it was referring to. In other words, is there something with the existing TSWs that you could do via construction project to be able to allow them just to stay in all year?
Right. Okay. Well, that maybe clear that up a little bit, because that's going to take some intensive investigation of survival studies that we've just got through with. And I think, you know, there's a joint technical memo out that's asking for some of the specific data on that to help us ferret some of those things out. So it may be that running the TSWs in the summer is the right thing to do. I don't know, but we can look at that. So.
Well, I mean, I guess currently it's kind of questionable just based on what we have for survival. It looks like from the standpoint of debris removal, because of all the spillway weirs throughout the river, that there would be some benefit.
It'd be a help there, yeah, certainly early in the year. And, yeah, so I think overall I think there's some good stuff here. Your sections 3 and 4 really are pertaining to the ESBSs and probably should be combined, you know, maybe and fill that a little bit there, but no big deal. So I think, I think it's a good start. The rolling of the units and dealing with that boat is an important thing too, I think, a very important thing. And a little disappointed to see that it's not going to be until 2016, and you know, even then we're not certain. So I think that is a really critical piece, especially if there are concerns with rolling the units for unit safety, then you know, it makes sense to have a boat up there just to push that stuff out of the way. It's a lot less effort from the powerhouse's standpoint if you can just do that, so unless there's a safety concern with running units. But yeah, I think that's a critical piece.
No, I concur. I mean, I read the first two, and I had the same comments that the trash rack section, how you're going to start test raking more often. That makes a lot of sense. That's really good. Appreciate that. The rolling the units part, we're going to have to work on that. And then I guess we can start talking. Eventually, I think there's a comp or some sort of document that we could talk about sometime about TSWs and other options. I don't know. Because I don't think you guys have much of a trash year boom up there.
We have none.
So that's that's another long-term operation. Yeah. Take a look at looking at a trasher boom.
I didn't see that. There was some discussion of that. Yeah, thinking here.
Those last two long-term are things that you could consider out there.
Yeah, and that's what we thought would fit well under a comp discussion, unless we're not going to use the comps anymore, which is fine by me.
Yeah. But debris was an important part of that. So.
Yep.
Okay.
And have you guys looked into just turning the TSW on for a couple hours? Or when you're doing debris removal in August, you know, not a long-term run, but just to use them to get the debris to go.
Once we pull them, they're not in place without spending a day or two putting them back in place. So we pull them so that we have those bays available for a spill pattern.
Yeah. So the only question is, and this is something I was wondering if we could talk about sometime, it's like, is there a bay close to the powerhouse we could put just TSW in that we don't use much of a spill pattern and then have that available for debris spill? That's something we could take a look at. And how
22.
That would affect the spill, yeah. And would that, how bad would we be impacting our spill pattern by not having 22 on for a spill pattern? And that's some of the questions that we would, that I was mulling over and I'm going, yeah.
We did spend a lot of time.
I know we did.
So there, it's foggy now in my memory, but we can go back and look at our
Well, Ryan should have good photographs and graphs and notes.
That's true.
He should, actually. There was a lot of time spent on McNary.
Yeah.
And specifically when the outfall was being put in place as well, we again looked at TSW and the spill patterns.
Yeah, those
bays were important for support of the TSW flow, but
if we're not using the
TSW flow,
that becomes a question. That was why I was thinking that.
Yep.
That was one of the comments I was going to write up, but...
I think written comments are great. We really appreciate that when people can take the time to do that. It does help us all kind of provide the written documentation, help others understand when we get questioned on it.
Okay,
so we'll expect some written comments. Is there any other agency reps that had comments?
A couple small ones.
Okay, Dave.
On the first section, it references clean the trash racks 1 week before the 10-year average peak, and it cites McNary Table 2 for the peak. And just wondering, that table doesn't have the peak, it has 50% median, and well, 10%, 50% passage, and 90%. So I was wondering if that meant the 50% for the median.
Bobby, do you want to answer that for Carl? But when I read that, I interpreted it to mean the 50%.
Okay.
And so that is that's something new, and what he's largely suggesting is swapping just the once a month for something more timely in terms of the fish run.
So it happened, the cleaning would happen at the 50% bait, 10-year average 50% bait of each season?
A week ahead of that.
Okay.
That's what he proposed.
You might have to clean it within a few days of each other.
Yeah, well, I think there's overlap. So there's like four species mentioned, and that's probably all within 3 months. So he hasn't clarified what that meant. That could be a take-home. Bobby, if you're still on the line, that could be a question for Carl in terms of what would those dates be anticipated to be in 2015 based on that language?
Yeah, I'll talk to him a little bit about that.
In the second one I had was on after the same section. I just wonder if the 7% descaling rate was by species when they go out and dip the trash racks or combine.
I don't think we have Rosanna on the phone, and I certainly don't have the data in front of me. You know, the last time we talked about descaling McNary was the TMT meeting, so we were all pretty close in terms of the data that was reported through the two or three different discussions there. So, I think those presentations might answer your question, but we can inquire where that came from as well. That's kind of your comment?
Yeah.
I mean, this Tom was, that was one comment I was going to make was, I would assume, combined for, say, like, steelhead and chinook would make sense, but I don't want to have them wash out the impacts on sockeye.
Right, because the sub-yearlings will have
exactly. Bingo. So that you might want to make, you could probably combine other ones, but leave sockeye as a separate. That might be something we could go with. And that's
I was hoping that was a individual species.
So was I.
That's what I was assuming. That's what I read.
Let's wait. And so this is another comment, Bobby, back to Carl. Where did the 7% come from? And if you're going to cite something, let's cite something that is meaningful in terms of the individual species. So either by species for the year sounds like the most correct way to come back.
I think so, yeah. Particularly for sockeye and yearling chinook and sub-yearling steelhead are probably going to be 7% as a base.
The only problem with that would be when you get into low sample sizes and start getting a lot of variability.
Well, we don't need to do hatchery wild, do we? Don't we just? Is it okay to just do species?
Yeah, species. And I would. There's a cutoff there. I would think that makes sense.
We got like a minimum threshold for.
Right. 50 fish, that's...
Yeah. Less than 50 fish,
yeah.
We can, like, this is the kind of stuff we can work on. And
yeah.
I don't want to suggest that Dr. Frederick should convene a task group on this.
We don't need one.
I can eat off on that as well, looking at the 7% or greater, but as we discussed, I mean, what we're trying to do is prevent getting to a point where our trash is causing that 7% or greater. So with our more random samplings and staying ahead of the trash so that the trash that we have in our trash tracks isn't really causing it, the scaling rate. So if we get to the point where we're seeing higher descaling rates, we're already raking as much as we can to try to get ahead of that if there is a lot of trash. And if there isn't any trash, that'll be a good indicator to show, you know, that, hey, probably not happening here, but we're doing everything we can to mitigate what's happening here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think the concern that we heard already is that we aren't going to necessarily have a boat on site to make sure that the floating debris is always cleared before it sinks and becomes submerged. So that'll be likely 2016, although for the benefit of those in the room, they have today already initiated a request to borrow from Lower Granite because there is incoming woody debris. So they are making the effort that we have documented here to try to still use the boat. However, purchase of the boat has been stalled right now. The purchase document is in our senior executive office, and I have to have a discussion with them next week to get the approval signed. So they haven't been able to start their contracting process, largely due to a lot of paperwork needing to be signed by higher officials in our district.
So we'd like to be on a record urging them to complete that.
Okay, thank you. So with that, did you have a comment, John?
Yeah, I have a comment, Bonnie. On section 2E, you have the protocol with booms to combine debris near the northern shore. My comment on that is that it's not close to the auxiliary watering source, the traveling screens. Will that create a problem there?
No, a lot of this, we haven't quite worked out all the details, obviously, first of all. But I think if you drug it over to the Oregon shore somewhere near the boat dock, you're far enough away from the traveling screen.
Drug it over there.
The trick will be for us to determine how we're going to remove it once we got it over to the Oregon shore. I think some of this is sort of brainstorming. It's just trying to find ways of maintaining the debris.
So that would.
I don't think it will be a problem at the exit.
Yeah, I guess as I read that, my interpretation of that is that's something for 2015 when we don't have a boat in place. We do have some units out where we would take a kind of near-term measure to try to corral that and hold it until we had either a boat borrowed or until the end of the season, or a mechanism using one of your cranes to swing that whole amount over to the spillway.
We can't get that from over there to here.
Yeah, because you have no crane that goes that far over. I got it. But anyway, I mean, that's, well, or a contractor, which you don't have a contractor in place this year. We do have that under long term. At this point, I didn't want to take it out in case you were able to find this to be just kind of an intermediate measure that you were able to boom it off, say, in the summer months or something like that. You had some build over by Units 1 or over by that Oregon Shore ladder, and via borrowed boat or whatever, you were able to just take it over there and kind of leave it maybe until the spill season was over and then bring it back over to the spillway and just do a debris spill. But that'll be something that we'll need to talk about because you probably need some outages. So I was kind of comfortable just leaving it in there, knowing that it not necessarily is anything is to the top of our prioritized list of actions. Okay. With that, I think the next NWW update was going to be the ice harbor that Eric Hockersmith called in for, and that it has to do with OG construction delays. So, Eric, do you want to lead that discussion?
Sure. Bobby Johnson,
has left the conference.
So, the construction schedule for the ice harbor Southwest Air emergency modification has slipped a little bit, and then this week it's slipped additionally
that's exactly what Robert's doing. Still is anticipated to continue the alter still until this Saturday, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. At that point, when still ends, the construction will start back up again. And we're getting kind of close on whether or not the construction will be completed prior to the spill for fish passage on April 3rd. But we're monitoring the situation and evaluating contingency plans and doing everything we can there.
So, in lieu of some other things that we've had in the last week or so, and this is for everyone's reference, obviously in a timely manner, one of the things that we do try to do is at a minimum of 2 weeks, if we get the impression that we're going to slip on some of our criteria, that we initiate coordination. So, at a minimum, if it looks like you're going to be moving towards some issues that affect some of our legal requirements, I would ask that you initiate an MOC so we can start some regional discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, and one of the questions on this is going to be whether people are comfortable with spilling over the RSW in the case that we don't have some sort of a validation study confirming if or not this is made the likely improvements, and if or not it's dangerous. How comfortable are you with that? Because we are planning to do a balloon tag release prior to spill after the construction. If that construction goes all the way up to spill, we won't be able to do that. So folks are going to have to weigh in on how comfortable they are with that. Or if we want to do a balloon release during spill, jam one in there just prior if there's some time. So those sorts of questions are probably going to be coming up. So I would start thinking about it. There's some other examples, like John Day, we've done some work similar to this. We really don't have anything on record that says after we do this, things are bad. So it's something to consider.
No, I mean, you're right. It's more just like, if, God forbid, you start spilling and concrete happened to slough off and now you've got exposed rebar.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole reason you're doing it. What's the likelihood of that? Probably low. And I guess we're just going to have to talk as we get closer to that time of what we think we can do or not do. I mean, I've heard some people rumbling about doing like a site inspection, have the sand managers out there tromping around on concrete. I think Trevor wants to sign his name on the OG somewhere anyways, so that's going to be perfect.
Carl's going to stuff me down there.
Excellent. Might be a good spot for you. But, I mean, you guys, last time I checked, we're mid-February, so you guys are, it's getting tight, so you might want to start pulling together some stuff and start thinking about what contingencies we can come up with.
Yeah, it also sounds like Wall is indicating that we may be able to do a release after spill starts and still be able to recover some proportion of those fish, or even a large proportion of those fish, and get an indication of how many of those fish are dead or injured to see how comfortable people are.
Oh, there is the other sloppy one that we've done before, is use pit tags and then use the collection back in the area to see if you see a difference in survival.
Two different routes.
We did a hose release. We did this back in
control.
God, you'd have to shoot a lot of fish through there.
Yeah, that's the big issue with it.
Yeah, to catch something that probably isn't an issue, they will do a pretty thorough investigation of voids.
It's a horrible idea. I'm just saying it's a horrible idea, but I'm saying it might be one of the few ideas we got.
And we also have a post-construction eval in the sense of a performance test that's coming up. So we're really looking at things that are going to be harmful for fish from the period now to that performance standard test.
Yeah.
So.
No, I don't disagree. It's just like one of those things, as soon as you water things up, sometimes something goes wrong that you can't catch on an inspection beforehand. So I mean, that's why it's really critical to do the balloon tank.
That could be an issue here because there is a reduced concrete dry time here on that deflector. So that could squish any more, then that could be a serious concern.
Yeah. Or we do, I mean, the other option, and I was one of the sellers, we do have spill patterns without an RSW, so we could allow the RSW to not be used for, say, the first week or first couple days, but spill through the database and use our old bulk pattern and that kind of stuff.
Well, I think there's an issue of safety, human safety. They currently have a cofferdam, and so if their construction is not completed, they're not going to be able to work with spill, which is what is ongoing right now. We just have a limited amount of involuntary spill. I think it's only around 20K. And we did in-house have some discussions yesterday, specific with the construction rep on site, to inquire whether whether they could, at what levels of spill they might be able to work. And it would be very minimal. It would not be our normal legally required April 3rd start of spill.
I was thinking of the, whenever they get to pour in the concrete, to give the RSW plenty of time for cure time, to not use it whenever you can start spill. Now, if you guys say you can't start spill on April 3rd, that's going to be some delightful discussions that's going to need to take place sooner rather than later.
Right. So I think, Eric, you're on the phone. You're aware of that. As we start to see the construction schedule slip and suggest that, we want to have some discussions so people have adequate time to vet this at whatever level is appropriate. So for today, let's leave it that if and when that becomes obvious that that is an imminent path, it's critical that we initiate interagency discussion and coordination so that if this needs to go beyond the technical level to resolve the issue, that there's adequate time. So thank you for the comments. I think, does anyone else have any comments in terms of regional reps? Okay. The next one is an update on the Lower Granite Trap, and this was requested by Tom. Basically, we have a lot of on-site work people are aware of ongoing. Some of it's related to the JFF rehab. Some of it is related to an upgrade of the sewage system at Lower Granite. So there's been, related to the sewage system, a fair amount of pounding in the time that the ladder has been down and the JFF has been down. About 10 days ago, it was noted that in the drain tank area associated with the adult trap that there had been a concrete shift. That was brought to the attention of staff on site. The contractor doing the construction work for the sewage system put sensors on that, and since that initial shift, there has been no further shift. The shift occurred in what's called a construction joint, which is similar to what we have in all of our fish ladders. And so I know there was a lot of dialogue. I got several emails of inquiry from BPA because we had a NIMS research rep providing a lot of discussion at the PITTAG meeting to a lot of folks. That said, we did follow up with that individual when he was back in his office Monday morning, and had a call with him, provided some of the detailed technical data from an on-site survey by our engineering staff. This is not too new to have a slight shift in the construction joint. However, since it hasn't shifted, even though the work has been ongoing, we're pretty comfortable that it's not going anywhere. I think it was like a 3/8 of an inch drift, and the soils folks felt that it may well have been just the site prep when this was built, is that we're finally getting just the end of that settling. That said, they're going in and they are filling all of the construction joints, as well as Lower Granite staff was in the process of putting in a new valve, and so they're installing new packing all around the valve, etc. So from a technical standpoint, the Corps is very comfortable that we will be able to move ahead with no issues. However, there will be an effort to water that up early as soon as the work is done to do that double check to try to verify and make sure everything's operating correctly.
All right, we appreciate that. I mean, the main issue we had was I got an email via Darren Ogden, via Becky Johnson, via Stuart Ellis, dated January 20th, notifying us that you guys, a crackhead showing up at the AFF, and I was a little, it was disconcerting to not ever get an official email from the Corps. I mean, because the AFF trap is kind of important. A lot of people, it's got some big regional impacts. So when something like that happens, we would expect at least a notification to say, hey, we had a small settle, there's a crack, we're on it, we're taking care of it, is all I really need to see. Getting emails via third parties and that kind of stuff just causes problems in the region, because then people can get a little golf half-cocked and get crazy. So I'm just really encouraging you even when something bad happens, just let us know. It's much easier, and then I don't get crazy emails from policy types who are going, what in God's green earth is going on? And then I have to look like an idiot because I don't know what's going on. And then I go, well, I've never been notified. And they're going, well, Darren Ogden and Becky Johnson know. Why don't you know? So that really calls into question, what's our process? If me, who's a I'm the technical rep on FPOM, and this is where the stuff's supposed to go, and I'm getting it from other policy people.
So I wasn't notified either. I'm like district operations. I'm supposed to know what's going on, and I was not. We were not notified as well. Yeah. So we have a communication issue. Apparently, the staff at the project, their OPM, did communicate with our senior operations chief. Our technical branch forwarded an email, I think a day or so later on a weekend, saying they were going to do a site visit, more to come. And in the interim, then we had Darren running around, hair on fire. Quite honestly, we feel that Darren should have had some dialogue with the project before he ran around hair on fire, because he didn't know what he was talking about. And this is the second year where we've been in the middle of an in-water work window, and Darren starts complaining about things that should have been fixed on the trap that he never talked to people about before the in-water work window. So we have an issue with that staff member that we're trying to rectify. We're having discussions. We're trying to get a better working relationship. That said, we feel that it was inappropriately handled by the NIMS researcher as well, but we will be working to improve our communication internally.
There might have been things in the past, but I'm saying, you see a 3/8-inch crack in your concrete, you see water draining out because of settling issues that you now think is just now settled after they've been digging a hole next to it. You know, I'm not a geotech engineer, I'm a civil engineer, but we take a lot of geotech. Anytime you dig next to a footing and a crack occurs, I think you're going to get 9 times out of 10 people saying, yeah, digging a hole next to that was not the best strategy. So if I was Darren, I would be saying, hands on fire. If you see a crack in a wall that's been there for 15 years and never has been there before, and they're digging a hole next to it and it happens, 9 times out of 10, smoke, fire, yeah, it works out. So on this one, I might give Darren a pass on this one, because I'd be having a little hair on fire too if I saw my trap, something's got a big 3/8-inch crack and it's draining water like crazy. And he was actually pretty good in that email. He just says, hey, there's a crack here. I think we can still operate the trap. I don't think it's going to be a problem. It was just more of a notification that, hey, there's issues. If this continues on, we could have a long-term issue with the trap.
That was the email that was a week after he spent at the PITAG workshop with some other gal showing pictures to folks, hair on fire. That's my concern, is that, okay, number one, when our project was notified, either by Darren or our project bio, district operations should have been notified so we could notify the region. We have to remedy that, okay? I've got it. But number two, Darren, not being a engineer, should not be spreading information that's outside his expertise as well.
We can go around this all the time. I've seen taking a picture and seeing a 3-inch crack, that's not really expertise. That's just like stating a fact of what's going on. And that's really what we needed from the Corps. So, because if you guys got this information out first, then we can say, Darren, chill. But without any information, we got nothing. So, I'm just saying, we need to work on our communication.
So, chain of communication issue, what I'm hearing.
Transparency on issues.
Sure, certain people contact other people.
Sit down and have a meeting with Darren.
Hear it from my boss.
Yep, got it. So we will work to improve as we move forward on that.
You just said you got a problem.
So, anybody else have a comment?
So, but long and short, you think you're going to repack? I'm assuming you're going to, since it's a construction joint, you're going to try to, I guess.
They will seal it. They'll crack seal it.
Crack seal it. Darren's going to be out there with a big bucket of epoxy. Is that going to be his punishment? He's going to sit out there in the freezing cold with epoxy and see the cracks?
The construction contractor that's undertaking the sewage upgrade is going to be responsible. They're the ones that put the monitor on to see if there was any further movement of the concrete monolith as well. So they will be doing all the caulking, you will, to seal it. And then project staff were the ones putting in a new valve, and so they will likely be the ones putting in the new packing around that and associated areas in the drain area.
Yeah, and obviously as things shift, that may cause other things like gates, valves that once worked fine, maybe a little stiffer and that stuff. So I'm assuming you're going to do kind of a once through and check out. And that's why you're going to do an early water up to make sure everything's still hunky-dory. Because 3H may not seem like much, but for mechanical devices, sometimes that's enough to cause them to bind.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's an interesting question. I think we're all wondering about that. But what we've been told is that the only shifting was in the drain box, which is where the construction joint is. And the drain box is kind of separate from actually the mechanical area. So
no pipes, no valves?
Valve, the drain valve that came out of the whole system. So it's water that's come through there after being used for fish, etc. That's what potentially is in that drain box. That was being replaced anyway, and yeah, they will repack that. So thanks for the comments.
It's not waterproof all over yet, that's good.
No.
Not as like a digging a hole.
We will work as a district to try to enhance our internal communications as well, so we can be more transparent with the region. So next one, if we're ready to move on, Lower Granite Unit 1 update. Tom, you mentioned that you had heard that the bridge crane schedule had slipped. That is in fact true. At this point in time, we anticipate that the Lower Granite Unit 1 would be able to start 1 month later, which would be October rather than September. However, as I'm told, there is nothing tight about this right now. I inquired last week. I inquired again yesterday. They tell me it's a day, a week at a time. So we will have to come back with an update. And this was a place where we have been requested to put in a written MOC as well. So I think we'll just have to monitor this. And once they get a schedule in place for the bridge crane, so I don't know if you know the circumstances, but essentially the parts that were delivered were the wrong parts. So that's the issue. And there has been a heavy push to get the right materials on site. However, a week ago, we thought we would still be on the same schedule, and as of yesterday, we were definitely slipping at least 1 month. So I don't know what I could tell you. A week from now, I might tell you something different, but for that, that's our current status.
So yeah, so right now, it looks like you're going to do the JFF and Unit 1 are going to be the same year. Is that going to cause conflicts and problems? And I'm assuming this will be covered in the MOC.
Yeah, I think we can have further discussion. We're anticipating that we shouldn't. We expect that the permanent ladder fix that didn't take place this winter and or spring will be in place. And the criticalness of Unit 1 is what we used in 2013 when we had that ladder temperature issue. We have rental pumps, obviously, for 2015 that we plan on putting in place. I don't think we expect that this will cause any unnecessary disruption that we can't otherwise handle operationally.
Okay. I mean, we'll just look at the MOC and we'll go forward and just do a muddle through like we normally do.
Yes, Russ.
And I was also concerned about that as far as, in that, I think it's winter 16-17, we're planning a lot of channel mining for the JFF.
Yes.
And at the same time now, we're going to be pulling apart turbine 1 to return it to Kaplan adjustable blade. And we need the crane to be able to do that. So it seems like there's going to be a lot of moving parts and equipment going on. That was our concern.
Have joined the conference.
You
is that going to be a conflict as far as just space and contractors tripping over each other? Was our concern that we had here, was wondering if that's going to be a big issue?
I think we need to look at what I have on the schedule here because the coloring may be wrong, but the Unit 1 for Lower Granite technically was supposed to go out in the fall of 2015 and be returned then sometime early summer of 2016. I think I have it incorrect on this color-coded diagram. And just for reference, the return to Kaplan for LOMO was was and currently is still scheduled for January of 2016 through that year. So it's my understanding, depending on how close we can stay to schedule, that we've just slipped a month now. We've gone from a September start to an October start, so that means we wouldn't be returning to service till likely August rather than July of Unit 1 during 2016.
So, and the question, though, was, is that two projects going to conflict with each other? And I don't think they will, because one's in the powerhouse and the other one's outside, and they use separate cranes.
Okay, thanks, Scott. You know, I was getting off on a little bit of a rabbit trail there, maybe. Mm-hmm. So, we will be having an MOC on Unit 1, and I anticipate getting that prepared as soon as we have some final dates on what we think the bridge crane is going to do.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I know this is... been pretty crazy and will continue to be. Appreciate your efforts on this.
Okay.
All right. And before we move on, a lot of people have called in. Can you identify yourself so we can get you recorded in the minutes, please? I heard Russ. Anybody else want to chime in?
It's Margaret Florida Fish Passage Center.
Margaret.
It must be 10 o'clock.
Yep, it's 10 o'clock. Anybody else?
Stan Heller from Walla District. Talk about Lower Granite here in a little bit.
Okay. Anybody else?
Ken Bone, I covered them.
Thanks, Ken. Is that it? So can we jump to the SMF stuff since
it's 10 o'clock? Yep.
And then go back
so
to...
we're going to move from 3.14 to 3.15, Snake River condition monitoring, and we're under the impression, Margaret, that you called in to talk to that issue?
I don't know if she's going to talk to it.
No, I'm not going to speak to the issue. I was asked to call in case there were any questions relative to the small monitoring program.
Yeah.
That's all.
So yes, we were asked to put this on the agenda. The Corps did not initiate this, so...
that was me.
Okay.
Me again. I seem to be on a roll this time.
Sorry, Tom. Your name's right here, and I
that's
just didn't
right.
read it.
I'm not worried about it. T-Lore's mean a lot of things. I can think of a couple good acronyms.
I get it.
Yeah, I bet you do. I'm not even going to ask. So we've been hearing rumblings that you guys are going to solicit the contract and do something similar to you, like you did on the adults. We still haven't seen an RFP on this. Time's getting kind of short. What is the master strategy on working on this? Because if you're going to have another group in there, we're going to need time to coordinate them with the current group that's in there. There's also going to be questions about permits. This is going to be a little interesting. And also, we're wondering, I know you guys have been working hard on this one, but what was the rationale for going to a small business on this one and having two groups handling ESA-listed fish instead of just continuing with the one group and minimizing handling time on this? Because I'm getting questions in my all stuff going.
Bill McNary.
We're gonna have two groups handling the same fish, doing similar yet different work. Why are we doing that? And I'm going, I don't know. I will ask it on what the process is or what's going on and what are we gonna do? Because I said I still haven't seen RFP, so I don't know what the final plan is gonna be. And what's the timeline on that?
So John is the COR on that, and in a minute I'll let him allude. But basically, we do have contracting rules that have evolved over the years. While we were after the initial out for sources sought after the last meeting, we did actively pursue on two occasions to try to do a sole source just to address the issues that you've brought up. In other words, two different contractors trying to manage the same staff. We were unsuccessful in that. And so we're back to contracting has the lead on this. And we don't know at this point in time where it's going, although John has been notified that it is going small business, I believe.
That's correct.
And we anticipate that solicitation was supposed to be going out this week. It'll be out on the street for 2 weeks. At this point in time, we have been assured that they believe they can get this awarded in time to get folks on site. I would also mention that if you'll recall from our last experience 2 years ago with the adult fish count contract, when we had a similar scenario, that There is a new federal law requiring that if you are to switch contractors, you have to offer the same individuals that were in the position of a new job, not necessarily with the same benefit package, however. So that has the potential to allow some continuity. It did allow a lot of continuity with the adult fish counting contract. That said, I understand concerns. We felt at the biological level that were concerns in terms of managing that there's no umbrella over two potentially different contractors funded by different organizations, and what are we going to do if we have personnel issues, etc. And I can just tell you, we were unsuccessful, and we mounted an attempt twice. We asked for assistance from higher levels within our organization. Did they have any other ideas? We worked what we could to try to put in place a program that we thought made sense. And unfortunately, the legal elements associated with contracting did not agree that we had enough of a case that they would step aside and change the path that they're on.
So, I mean, I appreciate your guys' efforts. It's a little mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. But the question is, so do you guys just, whoever this new contractor is, so it's going to be small business, it obviously won't be the same group that's in there. And the group that's in there right now, it has existing work they're going to continue doing under the small washing program. So I don't know how much continuity you're going to get out of that. It's going to be kind of interesting to see. You're still going to have to get permits. I don't know how long that's going to take you to get. And then we're going to have some questions about, is there going to be like a performance criteria involved in this? Because, I mean, there aren't a lot of people out there that are trained to handle ESA-listed smolts and that stuff that are going to be trained in how to deal with the work you need to do. Because the one thing we're going to be really concerned about is right now we have one group doing the work, so everything is unified and standardized in how they do their process and how they mark their conditions and all that kind of stuff. Having two groups in there means these people are going to have to be trained to the same level of the people that we're doing the work, so we don't get a difference in how condition monitoring has been reported. And then we also need to make sure that we stay standardized in how condition monitoring has been reported previously and how it's going to be reported now. Because right now we've kind of gotten all the projects into standardized methodology and process. We need to ensure that whoever this new contractor is, they continue with that. I mean, a lot of us have done, I mean, some people a lot more than others, have bled some tears on this one to try to get that program fairly standardized and working fairly well. So a descaled fish at Lomo is the same descaled fish at Little Goose. And that, I really don't want to go back to have to go back and redoing that, because that was really no fun the first time.
So again, I think John has investigated directly with National Marine Fisheries Service the time frame on permits, so I'll let him address that. Standardized data collection and reporting is presumed that it should be similar. Our work statement has not changed from previous years. So if people are doing what's in our work statement, they should be doing the same job. Now, one of the things that we have noticed in other situations is that when we have the same contractor doing the same thing for a long period of time, that there has been some additional duties that have been taken on that we were unaware of and that we weren't paying for that people may have come to expect. That said, our performance work statement hasn't changed in terms of the requirements. There will be QA associated with this. And John, have you inquired on the permit issue and the time frame?
I have inquired on the permit issue. Let me backtrack a little bit. This is actually the second time it's gone out for open bid. Back in 2010, it went to open bid, and PSMNC was the only bidder. So I don't believe that's going to be the case this time. There's considerable interest out there. And I'm getting inquiries from various people, but I can't go into the procurement process too much. But I can say that they're doing everything they can to make sure we have the services we need. The idea behind this in the beginning was that the smolt monitoring program was a shared thing between the BPA and the Corps. The Corps typically provides one full-time equivalent at each facility, mainly to handle the transport component of the smolt monitoring program, not so much the FPC and all the requirements that are there. That's a BPA part of the contract. But the resources were shared to make sure everybody got everything they needed when they needed it. So we don't anticipate any of this changing. However, when you come to the permit side, if it's not possible to work under the current permit, then the contractor will have to get their own permit. And from my understanding, talking with the NIMS folks, Mr. Wagner, and there wasn't any issue as far as getting a permit for a contractor.
Yeah, that's scary. I echo Tom's concerns. I actually had this on the agenda, too. I'm glad Tom took the lead. But I'm trying to figure out kind of what it is, because there's smoke monitoring for indexing, there's transport needs, and then there's fish condition requirement monitoring in the biological opinion. So we have three major components of monitoring that go on out there, and what I don't want to see is that we start handling more fish to do this, one, or that we hand fish from person to person to person while different groups look at these fish to get whatever they need to get out of them. To me, the small monitoring program has done a pretty good job up and down the river at the sites where there is an index needed. I don't know why that would change where there is no index or where it may not need to be, then like Ice Harbor, then I can understand where the Corps would be on the hook. But I don't really understand the need for two groups of people to be in these. And so getting two permits to do the same thing really concerns me.
Yes, I have some concerns too, and I agree with you that we don't want to see any changes in the weight, in the sense of the amount of fish handling. I don't see the facilities collecting additional fish. That's just being practical the way we operate. It's very clear in the solicitation that they will have to work on a collaborative basis, be able to provide the same information, share resources. That is specifically outlined in this solicitation that's come out.
So I guess the permit part of it we'll have to talk about, but to me, it seems to me it's kind of like what I was doing in 1986 at Bonneville, where I looked over other people's shoulders, took the data they collected, and reported that. That's all I did. That may be all this person, whoever you're hiring, needs to do is to look over the shoulder of whoever's doing the work, whether it's Washington or whoever in the Pacific states, and then report those data to meet the requirements that are in the buy-up. Now, you are meeting requirements in the buy-up. I mean, that's what's driving this, because it does say that you do need to have condition sampling and monitoring at each of the sites that have a operating JBS system. So, and then there's also requirements for small monitoring that's in there as well. So, I mean, these are all in there, and they can all be handled under our permit process, our take determination process. However, you know, that's something that we review, and so we get a lot of comments.
I'm going to say, there won't be any change from past practices.
Okay. Yeah, that's
if there is, I will be close.
But I know you are. I just want to make a statement that's, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here to piece this together. And the other thing I'll say is that, and this is what I brought up with the Fish Passage Plan Appendix, and I forget which one it is now, B, or no, that's transport. Anyway, it's the one G, whatever the one is for monitoring, to add a section in there that defines what we would, and regionally, what we see as necessary for condition monitoring at these sites. So that's another piece of this thing that would, I think, fit into your contract, because you don't, you know, is it daily, is it weekly, is it some dams are weekly from what I'm hearing, others are every other day, and others are daily. And,
we've actually just, there has been some informal discussion with Paul Wagner specific to that. Right, I did not see it in his rewrites of appendixes, but he did reach out to me probably 4 or 5 months ago after an FPAC meeting and asked whether the Corps would have the staffing to support every other day sampling at Little Goose and Lomo this year. I contacted our leads, and from a financial standpoint, we did still have the resources, and we are able to support that. I was under the impression that we were going to try to get that written into the Fish Passage Plan appendixes, although yes. I did not see that in his two Fish Passage Plan changes that he's brought. So I think it's a logical place to be having that. I've had discussions, specifically we had a discussion about a week ago between myself and Paul regarding Lower Monumental, where Lower Monumental brings it. Most of our projects will be bringing on new biotechs this year. Lower Monumental asked that for the first 2 weeks of the season that they have not the every other day schedule so that they could better train their new biotechs. At that point in time, we have very few fish passing the facility. Paul felt that was reasonable. But then the remainder of the season, we would be able to support the every other day. And my understanding is that this is meant to be something to clarify whether or not this data really makes a difference, so that this could be reevaluated in 2 or 3 years as to whether, you know, management decisions really would have changed with having every other day.
I don't think 2 or 3 years, and Paul and I talked with him before I came over here, and this is something that I've been working on as well. So I've been working closely with him, and I think what I'd like to see is that evaluation occur now. I think we have the data to review, and I'd like to get the opinion of the FPOM members and the membership involved in reviewing that and making some recommendations for the fish passage plan as a, you know, just basically define out what we see as a minimum, not maximum, but a minimum monitoring effort that's necessary to, you know, to satisfy the requirement of the biop, really, is what it comes down to.
So do you have a way to maybe bridge between some of the discussions at FPAC and bring those into FPOM?
Well, FPAC members, a lot of them are sitting here, so I think getting the FPOM group together to do that, as Tom would be the chair.
What? Whoa. Only if you're chairing, I think you've got
new subcommittee, I hear.
I think about a DeBrie McNeary one that you can chair then.
No, that one's easy.
I don't group you in for
a group on that, but I do see a need for a group on this one with Fish Passage Center folks involved and the FPAC members that are here involved. And just sit down and look at the data we have and make some recommendations to the Corps and to us, since there's a biop requirement, what the minimum. Is it daily, every other day, every third day? Is it 24 hours? Is it 8 hours? Is it 16 hours? A couple of graph samples, whatever. But let's get that lined out so that defines for you guys what the minimum is, which I would think you would need for contracting purposes. So if that's the intent of your side of the contracting is to meet that requirement, the way I'm understanding it, the BPA side of it, the smoke monitoring side of it, that's a different issue, and that's for indexing and other purposes. But there's a core responsibility and a base need here, separator monitoring and condition monitoring.
So what's the timetable for you guys needing to get your contracting written up, how you needed to send that to the contractors, and how soon we could provide this information? Is there even a possibility to get that?
That was the inquiry from Paul. As I mentioned earlier, even though at two of the sites several years ago, the frequency was adjusted, basically when we stopped transporting early, sometime between 2005 and 2012, there was some changes made. We had not made any differences in our performance work statement, nor in the FTEs, if you will, the amounts of labor that we were providing to the projects. So what they largely did is shift, staff were shifted to other duties. Our understanding is that, you know, what we've been paying for has never changed, and so we're not aware of any issues there.
I don't see any exclusive issues here. I mean, you have to do what you have to do in the time frame. It's an annual contract. What I'm looking at is developing something that may take us a while, but from then on, you'll have clear guidance on what folks are expecting.
I think clear guidance is always important. I would definitely agree.
So do you go through this contracting process every year that you're doing?
No. You know, basically, this is another rule that's changed. 3 years ago, there was a rule where we could only award a contract for 3 years, which would be 1 year of original contract with the option for 2 additional years. That has now changed that for many of the contracts, we can award a contract for the initial year and have 4 option years again, which is more like what we historically had.
Mm-hmm. So what is your plan on, so I guess it comes down to, when is this RFP coming out and what are you guys planning to do? Is you guys planning to do just like a 1 year contract and review annually, or are you guys going to do 1 year and put options on it? I mean, what is your guys' plan on this? Because
flexibility to.
Yeah, I think flexibility
is in there.
Yeah.
To modify.
Well, you know, John can answer. Our plan is similar to previous times, and that is we'll award the contract with the potential for option years. But option years are never awarded unless we have successful performance, and that's what he'll be monitoring throughout that first year. If there were to be other options, certainly the Corps is always open to entertaining them. So if some other funding source became available that provided greater continuity through some other entity, I think we would adjust as possible, but right now we have some very firm legal guidelines on the methodology that we will be pursuing.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking in terms of the frequency of monitoring at individual sites, you know, if that changes over time, based on what we've come up with. I think we'd all rather handle these fish less than more, so if that should change, can you change that requirement in the contract?
Right, we could. We can make modifications. Either, even within a year, we can make a mod. It costs a little additional money, but certainly before, if we were to have successful performance, sometimes we might have to award an option year and then make the mod, rather than make the mod in the option because of the contracting language. But yes, we have that ability to implement. But, you know, recall as well that with the, as John said, second FTE largely funded through this program, even though they were different funding sources, which they will remain, there was, and it's of course really important, the personnel involved, the ability for people to work together successfully. If they want to and they're really the right people for the job, I think we can be successful. If we were to have a contractor be put in place who existing staff chose not to take the positions with a new contractor, that's what we're all concerned about, what would be the quality. But John will be monitoring the quality via the project bios weekly basis. You know, and if we start to see issues, we're going to have to get on it. It's just, we have no choice.
If I may, the group spent a lot of time in 2008 working together to develop the coordinated program for collecting the data to meet the different needs. And the FTEs haven't changed. So the SMP staff or the site staff that have done both the core task order and the small monitoring program have been the same group of people. The combination of both contracts has enabled us, or PSMFC and the agencies, to have permanent staff on site at all the projects. Having a new contractor come in, it has the potential to severely disrupt what we have right now. We'll see how that one plays out. Yes, you may retain some of the staff that are there, but you may also lose the ability to combine and have year-round positions. The other question that I have for you, John, is you talked about the close collaboration. What is your picture of utilizing the touchscreen of the data process that was developed with discussions with FPOM and FPAC and Fish Passage Center? How do you envision that being handled? Or was that a part of the discussion and consideration?
From a contractual standpoint, the extra person was originally hired to provide transport information and information the Corps has requested. When it comes to BPA contract, our contract doesn't cover that. So anything FPC requires will have to be done by FPC people or PSMFC people. I don't see why the contractor we have would not collaborate because the information is similar. It's just that they wouldn't be able to putting the stuff into the FPC's proprietary software. I mean, they won't have access to it. But other than that, as far as data for transport, daily collection, that's pretty straightforward, along with the descaling rates and all that. Another thing, area that might differ is the weekly reports. They won't be the same ones anymore necessarily. So that could be a collaborative, or it could be two separate reports. So, and the same is true of the annual report. well, you have the PSMFC report, and then you have the annual CORE report. So they're just different functions, but similar information.
So I would recommend, as we move forward, it's out of all of our individual control, if and when people see issues starting to evolve, that they contact John. And so he's able to elevate it, and let's all try to move forward that we are trying to provide the region with the same services. We're all bound by different legal requirements, and we have to work within the legal system to address anything that should come along. We want to work with folks to do what we can to maintain the integrity. That is certainly where we want to see it go. So if and when something occurs, I urge you to contact John, and I would expect that John would, in a cordial manner, please try to rectify that, and we'll have discussions. And, you know, rather than it's the CORE trying to change the program, it is really, this is a legal requirement, not specific to the CORE. It has a lot to do with contracting. As you're all aware, money comes into the CORE and largely goes out to contractors, and we have a lot of process and a lot of rules, and those are constantly evolving, and we just have no leverage to change most of those. You know, if and when we have a situation where if we were to not have performance or have some real issues out there, we can go back and John can work through the contracting rep to see what can be done to remedy those. And I hope we don't go there, but certainly we're, you know, that's what we're here to do. John being COR, that will be his role, to work back with contracting if and when we have significant issues that start to evolve. Obviously catching them early will be important.
And can I just ask a follow-up question of John? So is it the intention, part of the reason for the 2008-2009 standardization of collection of the information was that the regional, state, tribal, and federal fish agency technical folks required the condition data on a real-time basis? And that was part of the standardization and the collection of that data and the dissemination. Is it the intent of the CORE to still do that through this contract?
As I mentioned earlier, the CORE simply provides one full-time equivalent at the major facilities to take care of the additional information that's required by the transport program and the conditions. Now, that said, it doesn't mean that the contractor can't join the mix to make sure everybody gets what they need out of the same batch of fish. So no. I don't anticipate why they wouldn't.
The contract's going to provide the conditions.
See why they wouldn't, because it would be advantageous to everybody.
Well, is that going to be written in the RFP is really the question. As long as it's written in the RFP, and then I'm still kind of confused because you say at the transport facilities, but Ice Harbor isn't a transport facility, and McNary is technically not really a transport facility anymore. So I'm trying to figure out, are those going to be done differently, or are they going to be under the same contractor? Because we really only have three projects that are transport.
I can answer to that to some extent. When we decided not to transport at McNary Dam, we could no longer fund that activity through traffic transport funds. They come from a different pot of money. So McNary had to pony up their own funds to do the work at McNary. And that's why the contract was changed for the last option year last year. And it was very frustrating for me to go through that whole process because pots of money had to change, the scope of work had to change, plus we had the issue of, like Gary alluded to earlier, what is required by fish conditioning. People were asking to go every other day on when the fish passage plan said, well, we could go like Ice Harbor. So the decision was made to continue with what we had been doing, but you know, this program evolves just like everything else does over time.
So I'm going to add to that, you know, largely our project bios play a pretty important role. When he did transition at McNary, all that was a funding shift. Obviously, there was no change of personnel. But our project bios, when we get a new contractor on site, are going to be asking for the same thing that they've asked for in previous years. and they're going to be mentoring people the same as they would have mentored PSMC staff. So it is our understanding that we expect to have similar products and performance as we move into the future.
Any other questions?
Okay.
A lot of fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I don't see that. I mean, I see this going on. This isn't the end of this one at all.
No.
We need to, somewhere along the way, this needs to get all kind of laid out. And to me, I see all kinds of little pieces here that are revolving around, but I don't see a clear plan yet of how your one person or whoever it is that becomes a contract person works with the SMP. I'm still trying to figure out how that's going to work. John's mentioned several times that there'd be probably one person responsible, but what does that person do? Is that person just transferring data, or is that person actually handling fish, or is that person...
Well, I think we're going to have to wait till we get him on site, because as we said, the performance work statement is not changing from what he put out in 2008 and 2009. Now, if there were staff that got the contract in 2008 and 9 that were undertaking duties that weren't written in the contract, that's where we'll run up against sharp edges. So we're just going to have to address those if and when they pop up. I don't think we're aware that anything necessarily should be changing. I think that's our message moving forward. We're happy to work with issues as people bring them up, and if and when we can't solve them at the technical level, and or John working with the contractor, we may have to elevate it and see what we can do. But
okay, well, I would not expect us to see another permit requirement, because there would not be any additional handling for one. So that's...
Well, I don't know that SMP that. Is
you
going to...
And
Margaret, are you still on?
Yeah, Gary, we would not hold a permit for a contractor.
I agree with that.
What I suggested would happen was our permit would stay the same, and we would handle it as we've handled any researcher at the contract. Once a fish leaves our hands, the crew would keep a tally of those fish. They provide them to me. I would deduct them from our overall take, and they would go on that contractor's permit. So there'd be no double accounting. But we're not going to hold a permit for someone that we have no supervisory control over or anything.
And nor should you. I agree 100%, Margaret. I'm just trying to understand why anybody would need an additional permit if they're able to just transfer the data to this person, not the actual fish.
Well, I would expect the contractor would be handling.
Right. So
they would be doing...
No, the contractor's going to have to handle fish to do his job.
Yeah, these folks, we may at some point have to come out to a project to allow some of the people that just are attending meetings here in Portland to real-time better understand some of the working circumstances out there. But at least my history, which is dated now by at least 10 years, is that oftentimes the person working on the core contract and the bio working on the SMP contract, they're switching off days. They're not necessarily there the same day. They're largely doing the same functions and exchanging some of the same processes.
Well, that's what I'd like to talk about then, is why we don't have them on the same day. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me either, unless there's a frequency of monitoring that's required by the Corps that is probably more frequent than I would think needs to be. So that's why I want to talk about what that minimum handling and minimum monitoring is needed for the condition monitoring. I don't know. I don't see that. I don't see why that would be. And I've been out there too. You know, that's where I started. And I've seen this sort of thing happen. Of course, that was 20.
If you really want to, do the math,
well, I guess closer to 30.
You really don't want to do
so,
the math.
So, same thing. I saw the disruption that happened when different people moved in on other people. And I hate to see that happen here. But what I don't want to see is additional handling of fish. And especially when the data are sufficient for the first handling, I don't see a need for a second handling at all. So I need to...
I don't think we're anticipating that.
Or even additional fish to be handled
on
the same day. And if SMP's in there daily, I don't quite understand why the Corps would need additional days if they're in there.
The Corps has no ability to directly go to the Fish Passage Center or PSMFC with a contract. The Corps is providing an ancillary contract to support the condition and or transport data, and with the hope that they will collaborate with the existing SMP, PSMFC staff on site.
That's bullshit.
That's what we know right now. So, I mean, best case scenario is any contractor that comes in wants to be evaluated positively, makes a lot of efforts to show no discontinuity in an existing program, although there'll be perhaps learning curve if they have some changeover of staff.
Well, so it really comes down to we need to see the RFP to see what this new person is going to be responsible for, what the current S&P program is responsible for, and see where they overlap, where they don't, and what these new functions are going to be or not.
Can we draw them in a line so that we don't
have? Is that releasable?
Well, but that, I don't think it's really fair to S&P to make them have to pick up this other stuff. Because
RFP.
That's kind of a horse crap, honestly.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Well, but that's what's going to happen. If you're not going to make these people get a permit, then all they're going to be able to do is look over someone's shoulder, write down the data that S&P's done. Then why are you paying someone to just copy down someone's data from S&P? It's just mind-boggling that this is where we're going.
I think you guys are misunderstanding what we're anticipating, although we have concerns.
Well, once you see the RFP, it will be fairly clear, and that's going to be critical.
The point you guys are missing here, though, is our staff, S&P staff, increases under this. So S&P can't do all of the things that they were doing and have someone watch over their shoulder. That doesn't work.
That's not working.
So
Margaret, you're saying is that
we don't know how this is going to work out, you have to figure it out.
We have no choice but to move forward as we are. There was no way, you know, the Corps cannot directly go to PSMFC. So
Margaret, are you saying that this would cause you to, the SMP, to move away from some of these dams?
No.
No.
If we don't have joined the conference.
Right now, the funding is that the Corps kicks in one FTE.
Right.
If they take that out, we lose one FTE.
Got it.
So the hope is that the FTE of the new contractor works as transparently as when they were able to be a PSMFC employee. That is the hope as we move forward.
Yeah.
That then the data, there would be no need for a permit.
I don't know exactly how that's all going to happen.
There's not going to be a permit.
No one does until we do it. You know, I think we're all change, you know, a place where you don't have any control is always challenging. I think, you know, fortunately, and some people may disagree, that we've been relatively successful in performance with the adult fish count contract, and we had a lot of misgivings before that was awarded as well.
I don't think we really want to discuss that because there's a cost issue on that, because I know Norma does charge us more than what we were pain, so, and I'm seeing...
I see that as a different thing.
Let's not even go there.
Procedurally, for the Corps, it's the same issue is the only reason I brought it up, okay? We have law changes, we're driven by those laws.
But there's a handling issue with this other one.
Yeah, there's something here that
there's differences in handling.
There shouldn't be.
Well, with the adult count, we're not handling the fish.
There should be no change in the amount of handling on juvenile fish as a result of this if the two contractors are able to interact as they have in the past.
Well, and that's if you have the same personnel. If you're able to hire everyone exactly the same as currently there now, and they all are under SMP, then yeah, maybe you're fine. But if SMP is saying, our guys are going to have, and if they don't choose to do that and you have to bring on new people, then you guys are going to be in a bit of a quandary. And this comes down to, we need to see the RFP, we need to see how things are going to work out, and this is going to be a delightful, fun issue to deal with, and we're going to be pulling our hair out, and I'm going to get grayer, and this is just awesome.
Well, I see no option, as Ann's talking about, to get PSMFC, but you said if there's a performance issue, then you can go back to contracting. And in this case, if we're double handling fish because of this, we're going to call a performance issue there.
Yeah.
Let's see where we go before we make assumptions. I mean, we're all nervous about change, but I don't think the assumptions are valid.
RFP. I'm hearing a variety of things here, and I'm not sure. It's hard to weed through it.
So when's the RFP available?
The investment
time. John, do you know when the RFP is scheduled to come out, or?
The RFP should have been out this week. I looked at it yesterday, and I didn't see it posted.
So when it's released, can you send it out to FPOM?
Sure can.
Okay. So hopefully in the next few days, probably early next week. So, okay, are we ready to move on? Thank you for your input out there on the phone. Anybody have anything further, or are we going to move on? The next one is the Lomo PLC.
Thanks, Ann.
And you'll notice, John, that, and you'll notice that's T. Condor, not T. Lores. So.
Yeah, it's my first complaint is Tammy misspelled my name.
Yeah, I saw that. Tammy Condor.
That happens when I work.
Well, this one was a T. Condor issue.
Not mine.
Anyway, this is just the ongoing issue of the program logic circuits controlling the adult fishway at Lauren Monumental. To recap, this was in the weekly report every week that it wasn't working properly.
The conference.
And I did a follow-up on February 5th with Bill Spurgeon. The PLCs for the adult fishways at Lomo are expected to be up and running by March. The work for the North Shore PLCs are completed, and they've tested and they're running. They haven't tested it with the pumps up yet because they're not all done with the water maintenance. But and then the South Shore are next on the agenda, and then they should be all ready to go when we water up.
That's good. Yeah, I just want to make sure that when I heard that they were reprogramming, it wasn't the same thing that was in the weekly report.
No, they brought somebody different in that knew what they were doing.
Okay, good.
So, and Bill was very happy with
the program, the ones at Ice Harbor.
I don't have a status.
Thanks, Bill.
Progress, Bill.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Good.
Yeah, there's a little calibration stuff to do, but he can't do that until you got full operating conditions with the pumps going. But he's already looked at it to see where the calibrations need to be made. So, he says, no big whoop.
Yeah, and this is Tom Morris. I'm assuming we can, beginning of the year, once we get this thing watered up, we'll take a look at how it's performing. And if it's meeting our goals, awesome. If not, well, let's revisit and figure out what we need to do to get through the year so we don't have weekly report dings about why it's not working. It sounds like you guys are going to get it working, so that's great.
Yeah.
I sure hope so. That was a long year.
Yeah, I just think we'll do a do check-in once you get the ladder up and running, and if it's working great, we're done. If not, we'll figure out some way to deal with it.
Yeah.
So maybe could you slip an email confirming that, Bill, once you are up, because you'll be doing that before the next FPOM? Either to John or Greg or myself, just so that we can give, and or you can call into the next FPOM, but in case you're not available, we'll have that information to update folks.
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, I think we are complete with the NWW updates.
Perfect
and
time.
Ready for Portland.
You pee just in time.
All righty. Thanks for sticking with us here. Let's move on to our updates. The first one is 321, which is a
participant has left the conference
for these people to drop off, which is basically, Bill, your request to have us continue keeping things on the agenda for updates. So 311, 3211 and 12 are C11 and 12 outages. There's no update on that unless you got something.
11's back March. Are we putting a beer on this one?
We're not on that yet.
Oh, T11, my bad. I keep seeing 11 and I get excited.
And then the other one is the Fish View building roof. That one, there's no update since the last F-bomb.
But there will be an update.
They got longer hoses.
Yeah, better grade. The power washing hose will be 100 feet.
There's a site visit today, so.
In 101 feet. So we'll go on to our favorite one, Ben, Viet Bond, Unit 11, on schedule.
Yep.
Your schedule is?
March, same class month, March 20. They should be pulling tail logs and slow rolling this afternoon.
Okay, so this is the test. Rarisich failed this test. I said, would you put a beer on it? He said, no. That was a different topic, but that's how I determined whether or not this is going to happen. Will you put a beer on this?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Well, he's putting a beer on the roll.
Yeah, on the unit roll.
You mean beyond the slow roll?
Not that it'll keep rolling. It'll be a very slow roll. Crunch.
Excellent.
Yeah, anyway, I got it back from Voith, I think, just today. It went back to void.
Okay.
To, I believe, tighten up bearings. I mean, I get the details if anyone cares, but they were having really pretty similar issues to what the core had when we put it back together 4 years ago. So I think they've resolved those, and they're supposed to pull tail logs and slow roll this afternoon. So,
all right, thanks. How about the trash rake? Fishing a trash rake.
Yeah, this is the one that Rarison shows me a beer on. Is it going to pay up?
Trash rake should be done April 1.
April 1. Same question. Putting a beer on that?
You're
yes.
Oh.
PBR, right?
Always. Tall boys.
Okay. The downstream migrant to orifice flushing. Where are we at with that one?
Oh, they're working on it. There's TR in place for those guys to be working on it, so hopefully we'll have.
TR being a trouble report.
Yeah, sorry. Maintenance crews addressing it per our request.
Make sure they all work on safety targets.
So the next one is the Dalles North Fishway rock wall repairs.
PDT site visit next Wednesday, the 18th.
We got a PM assigned and funds available for at least we'll see what happens when they assess it.
We'll see what comes from that.
When is the assessment plan to be done?
No, they don't have a schedule yet.
Okay.
They have yet to meet with the PDT, so this is like the kickoff meeting slash site visit.
I don't know if they're like a couple months, or they don't even know. So we'll get it when we get it.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, the next one is Trunnion Pin 9. Ooh. You ready for this?
2018?
Well, no, we're getting a PM, probably going to get a PM assigned. Depends on if we go, which direction we go, either a small projects team or a PM assigned from the district. There are some initial funds available, thinking about like a reliability assessment of 1 through 9 spill gates. You know,
10.
I just want you guys to understand that no matter what, this is bigger than it sounds. As far as to put a trunnion pin in, they're going to have to construct a bridge and a safety gate system. And when they get in there and look at it, it might be more than just the bearings and the pin. There's going to be, there's been a climbing inspection on 9, but there needs to be an HSS inspection on it. I mean, there's a lot of things. So the plan here is, you know, and it's like to move down, you know, we talked about 10 and 11 in the wire ropes, but I think looking at 1 through 9 to start with as an assessment and where we're at, and then hopefully I'm shooting for, crossing my fingers, to get some end-of-year funding to award a contract and move out, if it's just trunnion pin and bearings.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that what Vern was saying, you know, 1 through 8 could be in danger of the same failure because we don't know for sure why 9 failed or why the pin failed. So the others might be ready to go.
So what's the schedule for this assessment?
Well, I was talking with the OPM this morning. It's hopefully in the next week we're going to get a PM.
Right.
And start working
so
on it.
We'll
schedule will be developed.
Next
FPOM, I should
might
have.
Start having some concrete. Well,
no, you'll have some more information. We'll just say that.
Okay.
More than you know now.
It's slowly rolling.
Crystal ball.
Tea leaves.
So, you know.
You guys have to check on the trunnion pin storage?
Well, I've asked about that, and
it's on site.
It's on site, it's covered, but you know, we'll part of the PM team will go out there and look at it, make sure it's not been cut up for and melted down for some other things. Or not there. Okay, the Dalles Fishway log boom install.
Yeah, we. This is going to be put on hold until next winter outage season. We were planning on installing it this season, but we missed the window. It was sitting in contracting.
It's not on the agenda for 2 years.
So next year, we have it on site. It just needs to be installed. East Fishway.
East.
Any questions?
Yeah.
On the slide.
John Day, Spill Day 15 update, Miro?
Yes. John Day project's response has been outstanding and exemplary. Any more comments? just to give on this issue, so the structural, what it's all about is the structural weakness in the Tanger Gate 15 is scheduled to be fixed in-house by our own John Day maintenance crews before April 1st. So from a pragmatic standpoint, we have been waiting for better weather conditions in March.
All right. So to add to that, if you look down at the Fitterwig update, John Day South Weirs, it's my understanding that's coming out of the CRFM program and going into the O&M program. And that'll be your responsibility to report on next month if you don't have a report now.
A report what?
John Day South Weirs.
Okay, so what happened, of course, this is pertaining to John Day South 3, and I'm emphasizing unneeded weirs removal, and I presented that the proposal at the last federal week, and just wanted to repeat that their removal is recommended by Hellgraps from 2005, and therefore I was slightly puzzled by the discussion if this is a problem or not. Which we had, because also in addition to that, USGS telemetry had identified that their location as a fish passage problem 10 years ago. Nothing has been done. So it's, we have some clues, we don't have certainty. This is not a huge project as well, but again, I'm repeating another point that this is a symmetrical action to what has been already accomplished at John Day North. Fishway, when the identical three weirs, 156, 150, 58, were removed in 2012 and 13, as part of larger package, of course, of improvement. So anyway, the action needed here would be the concrete cutting contract, estimated at approximately $100,000.
Okay. All right, so I'll be addressing that through my budget process.
Okay.
Do you want to own critical infrastructure?
What's that?
Do you want to own critical infrastructure?
I don't know.
That's critical.
So moving on to research, Fitterwig updates. That was part of it, but the other one was the Bonneville FGE, and Rearsich isn't here, so I don't think anybody can really speak to the FGE program.
We talked in nauseam at this Fitterwig. At Fitterwig.
No need.
Okay. And our favorite time of the agenda, the RCC update.
Get your bingo cards out.
All right, there is water.
For a little bit.
Muddy water.
Until the next rainstorm comes.
That's right. But there is no snow.
No.
That's
a bummer.
That's
a bummer. Lower Granite, yesterday's average, 84 KCFS, forecasted at 5 days to be down to 72. On the 21st, 10 days out, down to 66 KCFS, and the peak during that time is 75 KCFS on February 13th, which is Friday. At McNary, yesterday's average 255, 5-day forecast down to 245, 10-day forecast down to 232, and the peak during that time is 248 on the 17th. At Bonneville, yesterday's average was 267, 5-day forecast down to 255, 10-day forecast down to 249, and the peak during that time, 260 KCFS on the 18th of February. And since we're looking at Ice Harbor involuntary spill, looking at that forecast, pretty much right in line with the Lower Granite one, 88 KCFS yesterday. 5-day forecast down to 73, and that's on the 16th of February. 10 days down to 66, and the projected peak is 75 KCFS on this Friday. So when Unit 1 comes back online on Saturday, we should be able to stop the involuntary spill and keep
back
working.
Is Eric Hockersmith still on the phone?
Yeah, I am.
I'm just making sure that those are the numbers that you're estimating when you say the contract will be done with uncontrolled spill on Saturday. that, are these the numbers that you're using to estimate that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, then that's contingent on Unit 1 coming back to service. They get some additional generating capacity, and so that happens on Saturday. That's why we're expecting for enclosed to be below generating capacity starting on Saturday.
Okay.
And that is all, unless anyone has questions.
So Lisa, so with Bonneville, we're in voluntary yesterday?
Yes.
So the one thing in the fish passage plan is if we were using the spillway when we've got excess flow like that this time of year, I think we're making a mistake there. I don't think we're looking at the data we have. I think the first and highest survival route, passage route, should be open first. I think the corner collector, when we've got excess flow in the winter, should be the first route that's open. I think, and I've seen nodding heads all around the table. So I think it's just kind of, we've been maybe perhaps a little bit negligent in updating the FDP to go with our highest survival route.
Good point.
Yes, that's a really good point. I think that they just, by default, they go to the spill patterns. It's not defined anywhere, unless we're doing some sort of surface passage where we open the ice and trash this way and in the corner collector. But, yeah, I think that that needs to be clearly stated if everyone feels that's a good path forward.
No reason not to.
Okay. So we'll work on a change form, and I don't know if it'll make it into the printed version because I've got to get it to the printer tomorrow or Monday. So, but we can certainly get that at least to the control room so they can do that from here on.
Outstanding, thank you. And that can be applied to
Dells
too.
The
corner collector?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the broader issue is Lower Columbia River surface flow outlet operations, right? They should be the first on when we've got excess flow, voluntary flow discharged.
Is there any maintenance issues associated with turning on and off the winter? Is there any ice buildup or anything?
There can be. I mean,
we got folks, you know, that need to get in there to do seal inspection, seal replacement around the pit detector, but other than that, no. I mean,
yeah, it's tagged out.
Yeah.
Right. That'd be problematic. But no, I mean, it's, you know, with that in mind, it could be worked around. It doesn't take much time.
Yeah, for the dowels, you know, might be a little maintenance going on, but we've all done that as well.
Are we expecting involuntary spill, you think, over the next few days at Bonneville? Because we can do a Band-Aid approach right now and do the teletype, but if everyone's in agreement, Tom's not here, but if everyone's in agreement, we can do this via teletype and then change form. Okay, so it'll be...
Yeah.
And it might be just as easy as calling the control room and saying...
Yeah, I don't think Tom will have a problem with that.
No.
We don't care what route the water comes through.
For once, I can actually speak for Tom.
Okay.
Tom won't have a problem with that.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks. Great. Way to go, Bob, man.
I'm out.
Kelp Bob. Kelp Bob's on the job.
You're on the agenda. Let's see how successful you are with the next one.
Wrong name in there, I think. Here.
So the next one is Lamprey Updates. Anything update, Nathan, for Lamprey?
Yeah, I can give a quick Lamprey update. The tribal accords meetings were the last 2 days at Bonneville Dam. The typical agenda there involved, you know, kind of planning for future years and sort of looking at budgets and things like that. But as importance to FFOM, probably one of the changes this year is because the funding level is so low for 2015, there's no planned research to take place at Bonneville Dam. However, the tribes depend on the excess research fish as part of the translocation program. So their response to that is to try, they're going to try to bring on somebody to operate the traps at the adult fish facility, Bonneville Dam, to collect lamprey. So it's the operations happened in the past, it'll just be different people doing it, essentially. So that's probably the biggest FMOM of the show.
You know, we have one other thing that was noteworthy, too. When we looked at the Lower Granite adult counts last year and added in the nighttime counts, we had a big jump, very unusual from previous years. So I think that is noteworthy in terms of some of the success with a lot of the efforts that are taking place regionally.
Any other comments, questions? All right, thanks. Nathan, so the Avian Task Group meeting is after this, so we'll talk at that time after this meeting. Hopefully everybody who's on the task group can attend.
We'll talk at length.
And critical infrastructure, let's schedule a meeting at the West Rick Room. Is that going to work or not?
We need to have some ongoing discussion here. I thought about this driving down yesterday, and we have some real challenges as we're discussing some of the things that are on site here with getting our staff, our project bios, off site to a location, and we're going to have to talk about the appropriate timing. One of the things that I was thinking about is maybe we push this off a little bit further, wait until we put together our respective lists that go into 17 where we rack and stack our capital needs. And then the things that we know that we didn't include in the budget and the things that we know that we did, we could brief people on project by project. And I think it would serve the same purpose. So if there's something that people have a real passion or we feel is really not going to help us move forward, that will help these guys to understand that as well. And we just, I don't see our project bios having the staff time right now to take it a day. We're prepping. We're just getting out of adult fish ladders. We're then getting ready at most of these sites for transport facilities. We're short on biotechs at most of the facilities, sometimes by two or three people, which means a lot of training. And I thought about, can we do it once we start transport? Yeah, so that's what I mean. This fall, we potentially could, but we just can't support it at this time.
Also, split it, and you guys can piggyback it on a fitter wig or.
That's okay. We can't travel either.
So let's just know that, you know, we want to.
And it wouldn't be good on the phone.
No, it's going to be a face to face.
But we, as, and I think Portland as well, internally. I know the district, I think I went through this last time, you know, we have new processes being put in place within operations to address the long-term need to maintain reliability, particularly as it regards to the biop. So we have we are developing maintenance plans, we have a database called AMRIP, we put these things out there, and between our facilities in the district, then we go through and ask the chiefs of tech, which are the engineers that have to get each of the projects, to rank what is the most critical need out there. And then generally those top 10 most critical needs are going into our budget request. Now, whether or not we get those is something that's beyond our control. But that is our process, and it is a much more informed and organized process than we have historically had. So I think we're all aware of the concern long term, and we have a lot of efforts going towards trying to become more organized, and I anticipate Vern can speak for Portland.
Yeah. The only problem there is when you rack and stack them, it's fish facility and usually doesn't quite meet the level of life safety.
Right. And
so we're still trying
to
tackle that part of it.
But it'd be good for us to understand. I mean, really, it's more of just how can we help you with this to get these things elevated without a list, without us being able to see a list.
Yeah.
You can't really say, hey, you know, here's what's possible, and here's what's needed, and here's what's funded.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good list.
Expect so. I think that's important for us to be able to look at and pass that back to our managers and say, hey, you know, we need to go higher if we need to.
Yeah.
Get this infrastructure short up.
So I think we can, at this point in time, Vern and I can help facilitate in working with the projects. A list that's a little different than what, you know, the last thing we assembled was a spare parts list. Now we're really dealing more with reliability and critical elements. I think that's the more important part here, and it overlaps with what we tried to do there. Let's just keep working on this.
Nothing's going to change. We realize we can't force anything to change. It's more of a raising elevating the awareness of what's needed and what's out there that's falling apart.
We're very much in a firefighting mode still. We are hoping as we move forward to have more processes in place that help us with that. That's not this year. That's not next year. You know, the federal budget has to take a different swing that it's currently in. However, we will have the information ready. Okay. And, you know, I think what you're going to see is if we have something that pops up as unreliable, we have a failure, there will be ways that will have to come into play that aren't currently available to make that, to get that back in place.
But yeah, we're just wrapping up the Bonneville Major Rehab report.
We're just starting.
Well, I hope it'd be wrapped up by the end of the ranking part of it. So ranking all the fish facilities and everything else at the Bonneville project.
Okay.
Yeah. Like working on it the past 3 days. All day. And yeah, when it's done, there'll be a ranked list cost.
I just hope that we can maybe have a look at that or a,
you kidding?
I've had a hard time with that over the years. Gary Johnson and others resisted that. I understand that. Do you remember?
Well, yeah, I remember scoring those. We'll just go back
so,
to
no.
It was kind
no,
of it was no
can't.
Or
no.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No, they did acquiesce. They gave us their spreadsheet. We scored it. They took. They said thanks, and then and that was as far as it went. We never like, oh, hey, thanks.
So, okay. So yeah, I've kind of learned my lesson there, but at least I think just to have a look at what you guys are considering top ranks and
yeah.
To give you our feedback, we'll take it or leave it.
So you're thinking maybe in August we can have a face-to-face at an off-site?
Sure.
Maybe what pub, everybody what, will have funding.
What pub you thinking?
I don't know.
Pub. Do every DM?
Yeah.
Or just...
Or maybe split it, walla-walla, and you don't have to travel. Everybody doesn't have to travel down.
Yeah. And sit there for the whole thing.
And we can go to the West Rick. You good with that?
You travel.
Well, I'm thinking if this happens late in the season, we get to where all of a sudden, hey, we got tons of money.
Or likely he'll just catch a ride with me.
Because that always seems to happen. Or we just catch a ride with something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or pay for it ourselves.
Squire Ninja.
All right, well, let's move on to...
Private Noah Litter.
Scott, you have any BPA updates?
What?
What?
Again?
There is going to be a large outage at Bonneville. It shouldn't impact anything. We will have additional spill, so the corn collector will be open.
Oh, my goodness.
What time? Yeah. 12 days.
Oh, next 12 days?
Yeah. Coming up.
Wow.
12 days this month. We're doing some work in the switch yard.
You're on. You're on.
Yeah, we're doing work in the switch yard, so it requires the second power to come.
Okay. What's the date? Do you have a date?
17th and 29th, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
You don't want to put that into March? That'd be a better time to do it in March.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Start that March one.
Could start with March. That would actually have some benefits.
If the flows stay up, you'll have it, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Never know.
All right, thanks. So that leads us to coordination forms.
Oh, yay.
We need to wrap up.
Best time of the day.
The famous Bonneville 84.
Old 84.
Still out there. You guys got the updated?
I looked at it yesterday.
And?
Has everyone agreed to what's in there?
That you'll spell it?
Well, I think trying to understand a little bit about WG1, WG2, and the impacts we get into by leaving those until August is probably important for everybody to understand. And I know you tried to get through. I didn't have time to get through all of this morning.
But last night with the beer, it's better.
Well, yeah, I didn't do that either.
I had the beer and read it.
If everything goes as planned.
Yeah, I know, that's the great line.
It's expected that this would be 12 days. I hate that word, predictable. Impacts will be minimized by attempting to reduce operation of Powerhouse 1 to the extent practicable. Yeah, I think what we've been saying all along is we just want to see the Powerhouse down.
Yep.
In August is a good time for that.
Fair time.
I mean, that's your best chance. While we're doing this, Scott, you had something you had added in here, a BPA, whoever the person was.
Yes, yeah, about divers.
That was about divers, whether or not it has to be out for sure.
Yeah.
One of the other.
This was about turbine survival rates.
Okay. they were saying what the impacts to fish were. You're always saying that you don't like having less than 5 units or something. Units, you know, it's a tailoration issue. Right, it's not the turbine per se. It's not the fish culture turbine. It gets the turbine fine. It's when it gets the tailoration.
It's not fine.
Certain spots.
Yeah, I mean, that's common for the sluiceway as well. Since they both share the same tailoration. So what I was wondering about, you know, looking at your comment there, it seemed to me important to have an analysis of turbine versus the ITS survival differences.
Well, that's really the difference, because your ITS is down, so that's no longer a passenger out for you. And believe the data, the ITS has ridiculously high survival, and we know the turbines aren't that high, so you're going to see a loss.
That's the difference.
Turbines are what should be high?
They're in the 90s. Low 90s, if you want to believe that, and the ITS is 99, so you're looking at an 8% difference. So if you want to buy an 8% difference,
and the predation is, it's common to both.
Yeah.
Really. So
it's probably the first thing.
I don't see that would be an issue.
Right. But the reason that it's in there, if practical, is that if you have really high spill flow, really high flow, and you're spilling above your gas cap.
Yeah.
No, we're not arguing.
That's
about
it.
That.
We talked about gas cap.
Yeah.
Right. So that's sort
is it
of
in here?
Yes.
That's the if correct.
At least in the version I read yesterday, which was an older one. But I don't think it shouldn't have been.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything here on gas.
It's highly unlikely you'll bump into that, but if you did, that's the out. So you aren't asking us to spill above the gas cap.
We're not.
Yeah.
And we won't. I just didn't see that listed. I mean, it's there's a lot of words here trying to get to.
That's true. They did say spill. They didn't say spill to the gas cap.
I know. There's a lot of stuff in here trying to on the gates, whether they could meet the head entrance at the tailwaters. You know,
the second paragraph is up to the gas cap.
It does.
Description of the problem. Where's the description? I mean, it's just pieces are all over my phone, right?
So
it kind of hurt me to read about 10 paragraphs to figure out what date we're talking about. So
you're not helping me, not need help.
I think this is the. Can you speak to the. To having that. We're getting one follow in the bottom, wherever it is. Were you guys able to get a rove in there to take a look at that?
No.
Or anything? No.
We can't do any of that close the sluiceway. It's just too
right.
Violent.
Even during the winter season here, you haven't been able to get a
22 tailwater. A lot of water. Really high water, a lot of water.
Well, right now.
Yeah, it's not really.
But it's been a long winter.
Yeah, I mean, it would get. To get an ROV out there into the tail race, it'd take unit outages and sluiceway outage, so it's just too hard to do.
Couldn't get enough. I mean, you'd have to take more power off, so I don't think.
No, we'd have to have the south units out. And
right.
We haven't done it.
So
I mean, it would have only provided us with a location of where it sits. We'd still have to obviously get divers in there to get it fixed.
No, I understand. It's just to be able to understand where it sits, because that came up several times in the write-up about it. Because we don't know where it is, we're not sure what kind of water is going through it, we're not sure how that affects the entrances once we get to, actually it's low tail waters are probably the most important, right?
Yeah, and the thing we can do is, we haven't done it because it hasn't been an issue as of yet. If it gets into those scenarios where we can't maintain criteria, we can actually put bulkheads in the other weir gate, because at some point, water's going to be problematic as far as being able to maintain criteria, because you're going to have water going out both.
Yeah, and you talked about using SU1-1 and then having problems with that, possibly degree problems and things like that too. So I just, people are okay with that.
Yeah, that was the one question I had is, do we have to do it now? I mean, how critical to do it now versus August?
Right, and that's what that's all about.
Yeah, I mean, so that's really the question. I mean, are you guys saying you have to do it now, or could you wait till August? I mean, because if you're saying you have to do it now, then...
What do you mean?
No, it's saying to do it in August. I'm just saying that there appears to be some downside of waiting until August. What you're bringing up is that you can't get... You may not be able to get good entrance conditions on that side of the power, south side of the powerhouse, under lower flow conditions before we get fixed.
Higher, under higher flows, yeah. That's when our issue comes in.
It's high flows?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we can't do it in the configuration that's in now. We can artificially create a pretty good passive scenario by putting bulkheads in weir gate 2, blocking water and sending only out of 1, which is, as far as we can tell, wide open.
So it's high flow, yes, because weir gate 1 is open when tailwaters are about 23 feet. And that's the one that's broken. So you can control gate 2, no problem there.
Yeah, I don't think that our ability to...
If it's open above 23, it is open. We know it's open. It's broken. Oh, well. Okay, whatever. I guess I don't quite understand.
I thought I understood that. It made me confused.
But, I mean, we only can control it or maintain criteria if we don't go to these measures to put in a bulkhead. As soon as we do that, we can
well, that
assuming that that is wide open and people are satisfied with the entrance available at Weir Gate 1, which we have no reason to believe that gate was able to stop before it fell the sill.
Yeah, because the bulkheads would have to go down the sill, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it was sitting there canted, stuck halfway down, would that be a problem with the bulkhead?
No, because we'd be putting a bulkhead in front of Weir Gate 2.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Well, I guess wait until August is the best.
I think it's the best.
The best option.
Yeah. You good?
Yeah.
August is when you guys can do it.
Dave, you got any other issues? Well, you're the smart person on Bonneville here besides Gary.
Hey.
You don't count.
I don't count? Tammy's here.
I never count.
She'll tell us.
She knows more about Bonneville than
I'll forget. She's forgotten more about Bonneville than I'll ever learn. But see, if there's a problem, Tammy said you guys are being a bunch of idiots. So that's why I'm feeling pretty safe.
All right. Well, good. Let's move on. Consider it done.
On and done.
Doer. Let's go to the Bonneville 01 UI hydraulic analysis in the serpentine weirs.
So we're skipping all the other servers?
What ice harbors?
Oh, no. You and Ann had the updated sheet.
Oh.
There's another Bonneville one. However, Gary already said no on this one this morning, and Sean isn't here to speak to it.
Yeah, that's what
I think he was shouting at me.
Did you get the hells no?
I left that out.
Hells to the no?
Okay, so we don't have to talk about that.
I wasn't excited. I wasn't happy about it. Hellish about it.
Well, I mean, we do need to talk about it. But Sean isn't here to address any questions, so if it's aside from the fish impacts not being sufficient.
Yeah, that needs to be rewritten. That entire coordination needs to be rewritten.
I was wondering if you were going to jump
on. Yeah, there's, I mean, just throwing, I mean, it was the whole justification was based on a 365-day draft of adult passage for those 3 days.
Yeah.
Tammy definitely also have another one in Bonneville as the end of his first ending.
That is a change form, not a coordination form.
Okay.
We're not the change forms yet.
We're not there.
So yeah.
All right. So we'll tell Sean he needs to read.
I CC'd him too on that. So
capital.
I'm sure he saw it.
And I think he knows. I mean, he knows that you got to do a better job of coordinating those things. Of assessing the impacts.
Out for a while, so I will send it on to the University of Idaho and have them deal with it.
Well, I poked them in the eye at the memo, so I guess.
Spawn.
Oh.
All right, well then let's move on to Ice Harbor.
Hey, Bern, before you move on to Walla Walla, can I add one for the
Dalles? Oh, is that what that is on my list here? I have the Dalles AWS 1400 CFS test.
Yes.
All right.
So you might recall last fall we ran across that boss to do a possible 1400 CFS test for fish passage just to see how fish would react. And we did not do that. But I would still like to do a
1,400 tests, and this is, for those of you who don't know, this has to do with the East Fish Ladder backup system that is going to be putting 1,400 CFS, and construction is supposed to start on that this winter. I'd like to run a test on that here in the next week or two just to see how it looks hydraulically. We've never run 1,400 CFS in that system to see what it looks like. So that's the question. Can we do it? North Ladder is out. East Fish Ladder is running with two fish units right now. We just want to shut one off and back the other one off down to 1,400 CFS.
And the only thing is,
when about 2 hours.
And like at 1 o'clock or something like that?
No problem.
Do it later in the day and I'm okie dokie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, what day are you going to do that? Who wants to be out there?
We don't have a day picked out yet. It'd be within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, get us a day, so in case someone wants to make a little journey out to the wilds of the Dells.
I can get a date figured out. I'll shoot it to that bomb.
It's not a Thursday.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Now we can go.
Thursday at F-Palm.
We can do Ice Harbor turbine intake study.
Yeah, I think we have Brad Trumbo. Are you still on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Why don't you lead the discussion and then Trevor maybe can comment just to let people know some of the background on this.
Sure. So this study is in support of the Ice Harbor turbine runner replacement. Part of the biological testing for those new turbine runners once installed will entail direct release of fish into the turbine intake. And we've done a lot of studies like that in the past. Most of the elevations we've used for, I guess all the elevations we've used for release have been derived in the physical models at ERDC. But in this case, we are interested in knowing the actual distribution of fish, where the majority of fish are moving through that intake behind the screen, where we will have the actual fish release pipes placed. And so, you know, we're trying to hone in on the most appropriate release points for these tests. And so that's one of the reasons that we're installing hydroacoustic transducers. And we plan to put two on the trash rack in Unit 1B. Our dive is scheduled for March 4th. And it will require a Unit 1 and 2 outage for the dive. I guess one of the issues that we're running into is that Unit 3 will be out of service for maintenance as well. So with all the south units out, that's less than desirable for adult fish passage. And so, Trevor, would you like to speak to your concerns?
You don't want to say? Okay. So with the south units out, we're stuck with running unit 6. So that's not optimal. Fish tend to want to pass the south at Ice Harbor. And so with unit 6, they're sort of forced to that north powerhouse entrance or the north entrance. With no spill going, there's not going to be a lot of fish going to the north. So they're pretty much forced to the north powerhouse entrance and the orifice gates, and then whatever fish can find the south entrance without a lot of attraction going there. So we've ran this scenario in the past a couple times just to test it. Bjorn, Brad sent me a paper, Bjorn et al., I think it's 98. They did see some delay there. It wasn't huge, but there was some delay. There was some wandering behavior. It seemed like they went in and out of orifice gates quite a bit. They're not real comfortable in that collection channel. It doesn't look like they tend to kind of wander in and out. So with unit 6 running, you know, what I'm suggesting is if we could put one stop of spill to the south, or to the north, excuse me, that would help with attraction. We did that in 2013. The data looked really good. We happened to be counting adults at the time. Adults went through real smooth. There was no big notches in the count. I did it for 5 days. So that's one option. I asked Brad if we could do that with the contractors in there. He looked into that a little bit. I'm not sure what he got out of that, so I'll let him speak to that. But then the other option would be to start in the afternoon with the dive. So run unit 1 all morning long and then start at noon and possibly do that 2 days. It'd be the only option I can think of for doing this. So I don't know. I think I prefer the
the one-stop spill option, but if...
So you're okay with the TSW not coming back in service sometime?
Well, does it stop construction? I mean, that's the question.
Yes.
Oh, so you guys looked into it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't want something that spills. I don't know.
I cannot hear the conversation other than Trevor's voice.
It's the spill issue at Ice Harbor. We're trying to avoid spill to get the work done.
Yeah, I asked that question of Jonathan Harrell today, whether, you know, one stop would be a problem or not. If that, you know, assuming that was the only spill we had on the northmost bay, he said he thinks it still may be an issue, but we're going to discuss it Tuesday when I'm at Ice Harbor. So the other thing I've done is contacted the contractor and asked them to discuss with the dive crew whether it would be an issue if we did two afternoon install days. So we are pursuing some alternatives here.
Yeah, this Tom or Trevor and I have talked about this one. The spill one is the preferred option, but we'll take a look at your other ones. What's your time frame? You thinking next week you'll get back to us?
Yeah, I should be able to. I guess I'm going to Ice Harbor on Tuesday, so hopefully Wednesday or Thursday I should be able to get back to the group.
Okay. So this is on hold until we hear back from Trumbo?
Yeah, sounds fine. More to come. Anybody else have any comments?
So I guess when you have that information, because this isn't MOC, Brad, let's make sure we run it through ops so we can go out and get feedback from all the agencies specific to the alternatives that's being suggested. We're not letting anybody weigh in at this point in time. Obviously, there's two alternatives. So I think it'll be important that we let all the players either confirm or not confirm agreement with the alternatives.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's just run right down through these Ice Harbor ones.
Yep. Next one, Ken, are you on the phone? Ken is not. Ken phone?
He called in.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we're Ice Harbor 002, double testing.
Double testing, this was an Appendix A, the draft Appendix A. I believe the date in that draft was actually, the double testing was actually August into September. So this is a little bit of a date change, but the project will actually do it July 20th to 24th. And it will entail the two transformers, TW 5 and 6, being out of service, and units 5 and 6. And it'll be for that week. In coordination with it, there's the annual being done on unit 5 and 6 same kind of before and after the double testing. So unit 5 and 6 would be out of service on July 6th, with unit 5 remaining out of service until the end of July, and then unit 6 being out of service until the end of August.
Starting July
6th. Unit 5 is 20th. Only the last unit in priority, operating priority.
No, he changed that for when.
Unit 6 is the third.
Changing
that.
So, Ken, we're getting some. Ken?
Here, we'll have a full operating as normal.
He's going
to
stay home.
Hey, Ken? Can we interrupt you for a second? We didn't all hear. You talked about Doble, and then you talked about other maintenance on Unit 5, and you provided a different date that you would be taking Unit 5 out of service. We thought we heard that you were taking Unit 5 out on July 6th, then it would remain out until the end of Doble testing. Is that correct?
Yeah, Unit 5 would be out pretty much July 6th through July 31st.
Okay, I think
he
that answers it.
You us down.
So, is there anybody opposed to this?
Come on, somebody.
Okay, so we will assume that this has been agreed upon today by the FPOM for you to go ahead.
Okay.
The next one. Ice Harbor, Unit 5, headgate, cylinder replacement?
Yeah, Unit 5, headgate, we believe, has a small oil leak, because sometimes we get an oil sheen in the 5 feet cable slot. So what the project wants to do is we have a spare technical folder.
I think you got thumbs up on this one too.
So we just replaced the
looking around the room, I see a lot of thumbs up. Is there anybody that doesn't agree?
Warm down.
Okay, thank you. So this is approved as well. The last one we have, and we may make a comment on Lomo at the end of Scott. Scott's still here. Talk about Lower Granite. This is 15 Lower Granite 001 is an updated coordination form.
Yes, so fish screen slot plugs are now completed in units 1 and 3. They will start pouring tremie concrete in unit 3 today. They anticipate getting all 3 units done today. And then they've got to go back and pour tremie in unit 1 and slot B and C. So once those are completed, they plan to roll into unit 2. And do the plugs in there with an anticipated completion date of March 25th. Once they get that done, then they will move to units 4, 5, and 6 again in July, which coincides with the normal annual outages.
And have a big issue.
Okay, so that's kind of an update. Anybody have any comments?
What's the consequence, Scott, if they're not done with this unit 2 by March 25th?
The project won't let them have unit 2 until unit 3 is operational, so that will allow for, you'll be able to use unit 3 for the adult passage attraction.
As well, we believe unit 1 will be available as well, just with fixed blades. Yeah,
yes.
So there has been some concerns, although with Scott bringing forward today's schedule, it appears that his contractor hopefully will be more successful. This has been quite a long, drawn-out process to kick off.
Unit 1 took them 5 months to complete.
Yeah.
Unit 3, after they worked out all of their problems and all the RFIs, Unit 3 took 3 weeks. So we are fully confident that Unit 2 will take the same amount of time as Unit 3.
Well, the length of time of these kind of bothers me. And if Unit 2 is still out starting April 1st, and I think Unit 5 will be out April.
Actually, I believe we intend to have all of our units at Granite available for the spring runoff this year.
Well, I know I've read that somewhere, and I don't see that, but I'm just wondering whether that's going to be the real case.
There is some other work that involves Unit 5 and 6 that's related to the bubbler system that people are potentially looking for outages to make sure they get installed. There has been, and I'm not sure the level of coordination on that. It is related to the JFF. It's a place where I think that's why you ask for the MOCs that are available. Scott put together what we had. I am being told that there's a Fitterwig in the near future. I don't believe I'm available for that the last week of February, but I would suggest that you talk with Stan Heller, who is the PM, and we talk about things that are having impacts and where we want to go with the coordination process.
The bubblers, I think, are planning on that's in front of units 5 and 6, and that's later in the summer when we'll have low flows in the river.
So
I'm not really worried about that. I'm just kind of want to be sure that when we get the freshet in April and May that we've got at least 5 units available. Yeah.
And it sounds like you're not going to take unit was it, you're not going to take down another unit until 3's done, so you, the worst case scenario, you'd have maybe unit 2 out for the beginning of April.
Correct.
So.
That is
correct. Well, we wouldn't start on 4, 5, and 6 until July.
So, yeah, so I, yeah, that's why I was fine with it. I can, I mean, one unit's not ideal, but I can live with one unit down a ground for a little bit, especially if it's, usually we don't see a freshet, and unless we get biblical Noah, like rain and snow, I don't think you're going to be too hard-pressed to deal with the flows in the snake.
Well, after their performance in Unit 3, we're assuming that they will get that done in 3 weeks.
Cool.
Or less.
Okay, so it sounds like, does anybody not agree with approving this? So you're good to proceed. That's great. We had one other update that I alluded to early, LOMO Unit 1, and we will follow up with a coordination and MOC on that. Right now, Unit 1 is out of service. It's an oil issue again. There is some uncertainty whether it'll be being returned to service. And so we will develop some written MOC and have some further discussions on that.
What's the status of Unit 2?
So that will come into play. Unit 2 is available. Recall that we did have on our schedule that an anticipation of potentially doing cavitation repair on Unit 2. I expect that discussion of Unit 1, Unit 2 availability will be part of our MOC and our further discussion moving forward.
Okay.
All done?
Yes.
All right, well, let's move on to number 5, fish counts. Mr. Wertheimer is here to talk about clipped and unclipped jacks.
Yeah, the issue is accurately identifying Chinook versus coho jacks, and then getting the clipped and unclipped when the windows start getting busy. As most of you know, the fish union were responsible for automation of fish counts, getting the fish counts posted, and then working with the comps and stuff. So we intimately work with the fish counters. This is something that they say isn't really feasible. So, you know, as we know as biologists, bad data is often worse than no data. So what I'm really asking the group is, what are you using this information for? How needed is this information? Is this something you actually need to manage, or is it a nicety or a necessity? Is really the question.
You're asking a lot, real time. This is a TAC question. If you shoot me an email, I will forward it on to the appropriate TAC individuals, and they can get back to you. Because if you don't send me an email, I'll forget.
Perfect. That makes it easy. Thank you.
Hey, I'm here to make it easy.
That's your easy face.
That's my easy face.
Nice. All right, so let's go to...
How much does it cost to get your easy face, Tom?
It's expensive.
Lots of sugar.
hold on. That may work for Tom, but...
Well, what do you want?
Is there a way to send this directly to TAC rather than sending it through...
If you want to send directly to TAC, that's awesome. Who's the chair of TAC right now? Is Catherine still there? It was Catherine. Is she still?
Let's
you can always
send it that way then. Trying to get Catherine. Defcon reps to pass it on to their TAC reps. I'm not sure where TAC rep is.
Is it Blaine?
Blaine is the higher up.
Blaine?
Enrique? I think it's Enrique for you guys.
Enrique, maybe, something like that.
So,
we'll look it up on for this.
Yeah. Cool. And I will get you the right contact. I'll talk to Stuart and find out who this sent it to. Yeah, we just ignore you.
I'll go.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Hey, this is TAC. You don't like them anyway, so.
That's true.
We will make this work. But yeah, so.
Sorry. Right,
so.
Well,
whoever the chair is.
We'll get the chair, TAC, to Bob, and Bob can say.
Take it where it belongs.
All right, so let's go to the winter counting schedule, FPAC reps. Who's the FPAC reps who's speaking to the others?
No, I don't think this is me. Dave? There you go. It's your bloody memo.
I wasn't really prepared to talk.
No, so you want me to know. Then you need to coordinate with me and tell me, because I didn't even notice this till this morning. Like, oh, crap.
I put it on the schedule.
Either that.
was it you? Sounds scary. Blame him.
We put together another day of handling it.
Some of the winter counts, November through February, that we had in the past couple of years. We had
maybe 4 years ago, we had no counts during that period. And over the last three count seasons, we've had, we've always had Bonneville and Lower Granite, November through February, or not February, Lower Granite, but November through December. And out of those periods, we had two additional sites where we had counts. And the memo kind of reviews what kind of counts we had at those projects. It was John Day, Lower Monumental, Ice Harbor. They rotated projects. And so basically there's a fair amount of passage. It's not as high as other periods, obviously, but in November and December for Steelhead. And I don't have it in front of me. Couldn't give you the exact numbers, but also for Chinook at certain periods and certain projects. And also did the same for March counts, which we've had one or two other projects counting other than this Bonneville and Lower Granite starts in March, I believe, too. So the question is, are those counts useful? Should we continue? And because this year, the only count we have during this period other than Bonneville is Lower Monumental. And it looks like next year, at this time, once Lower Granite stops counting in December, we won't have any counts other than So.
Well, I really feel this discussion fits in when we have Greg Moody back, and he's going to begin coming to FPOM talking about what the needs are for his new contract that he'll be negotiating for next year, and we'll be working jointly with Portland on that, because what we have done in the past is what we were requested to do, and so, you know, I think input will be valuable. I will voice my concerns about anything much beyond what we have been doing. Just to mention, as I did to you, Dave, when you told me you're going to forward this, that we have some, in Walla Walla, some real challenges with the amount of time we have to do winter maintenance, and we can't always plan accordingly when we set a contract in February for what we're going to be able to do the following winter. The way that we have the contract existing, we have to plan. It's a fixed price contract, and if we plan to do Oregon Ladder and then we have maintenance come along and we can't do it, we're out, essentially. So, I mean, those were kind of some questions we informally talked about, and I thought I would at least bring that to your radar for discussion. I think that what you're trying to highlight is that maybe going forward with what we have been doing, that was the first time implementation this last 3 years, would be valuable. Yeah. And I think we could likely accommodate that. If you were trying to suggest anything beyond that, I think we're going to have to look very closely at whether that is likely to be very cost effective for us with the challenges we have with scheduling and some of the maintenance activities.
I think the point would be that, you know, having a couple additional sites would be useful. And just looking at this Ice Harbor coordination form, you know, plotted Steelhead Passage in March, we wouldn't have that.
Yeah, I think the reason we had Dave write this memo is like saying, like, what have we done in the past? Because we still, I mean, to have the Bonneville and Low Granite always made sense, and then you do two other sites elsewhere to at least give us some data when we have to make decisions like, hey, we want to start work early or late.
Right.
And that.
Yeah, what we had was a rolling.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, it was like every 5 years or every 3 years we hit a site, so yeah. We have somewhat timely information, but yet. It kind of eliminates a little what I was talking to. The constraints aren't there, so if something slips and we need a
you
bigger...
You just bump to a different day for that yep. year. I mean, that's all I would see. It's not...
Well, it's easier said than done, though, because you're starting to get into staffing and contracting again. I'm not going to say anything's impossible, but I do think it's appropriate as we move forward to have more discussion rather than make decisions today.
Yeah, no, I would just...
And we can listen to your concerns. Huh?
Forget the bump to a different dam, just bump it to a different year. But
yep.
the idea
yep.
is to just have that database yep. constant as we can within reason, sure. so that when we have these requests, we can look at the data and understand what the impacts might be.
Well, and I assume that under the RFP, you're going to add, I mean, you could add some performance language in there saying coordinate, and if something happens, you just move to another dam, move to another year, whatever you guys want to do. I mean, I don't see, as a contractor, if he knows ahead of time that he's going to coordinate with you guys and something bad happens, it's, I don't think the world ends and he has to go from Mo to Goose. I mean, that, well, it's, that's,
it's,
that's
it's a different
thing.
Staff. And so, he, you know, well, somebody's going to go out and line up staff for a given period of time and say, I'm hiring you for 8 months, and then all of a sudden they're back to 7 months, you know, and somebody else is up to 9 months. It's not necessarily
and
as
clean.
And
what you're talking about is if there was an emergency in a ladder, and we had to take it down, we couldn't get the information, but... I think just setting up a schedule, what I was concerned was that we were going to maybe slide away from this winter counting altogether and go back to just Bonneville.
Winging it apart.
That's what I didn't want to see. I wanted to keep us doing that rolling because things change, populations go up and down, and we just want to make sure that we're current when we have to make these determinations of what the effects are.
Without it, you can't know what your impacts are going to be.
Right.
Otherwise, you're
still totally guessing. Change that.
Yeah, no, we took the input the last time, and I don't think that this was a place that we had any targets of necessarily changing. We do anticipate, like I said, Greg, when he returns, should be this later this spring, early summer, coming to FPOM and rolling out what we've had in terms of requirements. Are they adequate? Do we have other concerns and questions? So at that point will be the appropriate time. But, I think Bern is saying, I'm saying, you know, I think we're all on board with moving ahead as we have. I was just additionally addressing concerns if we were looking for more because I'm already having a hard time sometimes maintaining what we have and being efficient with it. But
no, I think it's just mostly we just want to ensure that what we had was going to continue forward because there were some indications that
it looked like it was just kind of
that we were going to kind of cease doing this and we're going like, wait a minute.
This wall has no accounts in November through February.
Oh, right. So that's because of the agreement we had in terms of the rotation, but I don't think that there was anything that said, so we would have gone through all of the projects. So in general, our contract has been awarded roughly sometime in February. So for next year, and what you're alluding to as you go through the winter, you'll just have there's certain sites where we always do it, and those will be on board, but there won't be any of the additional rotations. But to restart a rotation certainly seems reasonable at this point in time.
And that's our main issue. We just want to make sure that, I mean, because like Bonneville and Granite are our two consistent sites we keep, and then we have two others. And just as long as we can ensure that continues, then we're not fat and happy, but well, I'm fat and happy, but we'll be much happier. So
as happy as we were.
Yeah, I guess. That's what we were just confused, because Jay Brosnan says, hey, you know, because he said the schedule looks like they're not doing this, so that's why we had him do a review and write the memo. And then with our understanding, that's why we had to bring it here and say, what's the plan moving forward? So our recommendation and I guess our request is that we, in future years, ensure that we keep basically the two consistent sites and then the two bowling sites.
And I think that's appropriate because if you had asked someone like Greg, who's the COR, he would have said that he met the request. It was asked for on a one-time basis, and there was no long-term request at the time that they initiated it. So fair enough to ask that it continue. That would have been, like I say, just part of what he would have been re-requesting this spring, however. So.
Okay.
I can't remember if we said that would be a continual thing or one-time only. I don't think it was meant to be. I think I was the one who was asking for that way back.
Well,
I mean, we get so many requests, and we don't have the data to assess what the impacts are. So,
bottom line, touch this way.
It makes sense to ask. Yeah. You know.
But we have honestly, it benefits everyone in terms of data. It's just a matter of the logistics. So,
And its coordinations have to be pretty solid. They're on record.
My interpretation.
What's that?
Make sure that's in the
performance. Yes, we done.
Let's roll. Let's move to six. Bob, the Dalles Ice and Trash Sluice Lay Winter Operation. Another. It's a Wertheimer thing.
Yeah, it's a Wertheimer thing.
It's on a roll here.
So, Bob, could you lay it out for us, please?
Gary, it's 41 degrees out at the Scrum Case in Bonneville, and it's sunny. And you're
who's at all?
And you're questioning why you're here.
He's so happy about getting that corner quencher open that he's forgotten what he was going to talk about.
Yeah. What was going on?
I don't think I asked for this agenda item.
I believe Fredericks did, but it kind of tied in with the other ice and trash.
Welcome to my world.
That guy can't escape either.
What?
It started with me.
It's just hell, no.
Well, I think it was...
I think it started with me a while
back. I think it was in a couple of reports. I think it still may be in a couple of Vidal's reports.
Well, we're still open, but the window is pretty much closed on that for this year.
Yeah, it would have to open up today.
Yes.
Basically, but the idea was to open the Dallas Ice and Trash Sluiceway for a couple of weeks earlier, almost 2 weeks of February. And that was mainly, I think, for Winter Steelhead, maybe Summer Steelhead, in Hood River, Mill Creek, not Hood River, but 15 Mile,
right.
Mill Creek. And that was something to get started talking about anyway.
Yeah, so that was the hope, but then things kind of got muddled up in policy and other areas, and it didn't seem to just kind of spun our wheels on it for a couple months.
Yeah, so I guess it's something that I've heard people talk about a few times, that Oregon's brought this up, and I've heard you guys talk about it, and it's something that get it in front of the committee and talk through, I guess. That was the intent. Get Scott engaged here a little bit and see what he says. And the other part of it too,
it would be an FPOM if you weren't engaged.
The other part of it was to determine what was needed. Is it just, are we talking about a one gate open? Can we even do that? Are we talking two gates? Is it half the flow, full flow?
Yeah, initially we were talking that as like a compromise to just open one unit's worth of gates, maybe unit three one, or just one gate, maybe on unit one. I mean,
I don't know what it looks like. Hydraulics within the channel would be the issue. I don't know what they look like with that
with
amount of flow.
Open,
I'm not sure what that amount of flow is. So I guess kind of getting a proposal on the table is the first step. And then that way EPA and others can respond to it.
Well, did we not have one? Or I thought we had one already.
I haven't seen it. I asked for it because I had seen reference to it in the weekly reports of the Dalles, but I didn't. And that was the last meeting I heard. At the Fish Passage Plan meeting, I think, is where I asked about it, but it wasn't. It did not exist.
It exists. It just got held up in division, and that's when we had the division call, and then it hasn't gone too much further from there yet.
What, held up in division? The hell you say?
And so what was asked at the time is, I think, to put the data together, right, to build the rationale and justification. Part of this was the ODFW 50 Mile Creek data,
right.
As well as you've got other supporting data. If you look at the, we did a survival study at the Dalles recently in 2012. The attrition rates for the 50 Mile Creek data really mirror the turbine survival rates of the loss in the turbines at the Dalles. I realized recently there was a survival study that was done at the McNary turbines. But I think each location is likely unique, of course. So we're trying to build a case and justification in a synthesis type paper to put the data together. And that, to me, seems like kind of the next step for finding the right home and forum for this discussion.
Yeah, and this is the place. I mean, we just need to have something to look at. So if folks have information and the desire to get this together, then I would say put something together and get it in front of the committee to talk about. But if the vision's stopping this, then
no.
I don't know what to say about that other than
field
I can
unit
it myself.
Is currently working on the documentation so that any proposal that goes forward has all the data and it's completely laid out with a logical argument so that we can actually discuss it intelligently. And
so this is a premature discussion then.
Because being smart and logical, that doesn't necessarily mean like put it on the agenda.
While it is premature, it's also the right time that we would be opening this way, right? And
right.
So this is where the some discussion was. There's testers that are out there as part of the overwintering survival study. Derek Faber has Pittag fish out there as part of the 50 Mile Creek study as well. So it's just kind of the one last get it in front of everybody's face because pretty close, our window's coming close for this year.
Claim where yours is Farber doing that study?
I think there's a BPA is running the work. I'm not really sure.
So if we did get this open sometime, there would be opportunities for him to evaluate this sometimes in the future with his pit tags?
Yeah, I did run that by him. He said he could look at it this year.
Yeah, I'm just saying it doesn't sound like we're going to get it done this year.
We need to get a white paper together.
So well, we saying, are if we have additional spill going on right now.
But not the Dalles.
I thought we said we were going to do that.
If
we have uncontrolled spill,
right.
Which is now
your
right?
power not house is so large,
the Dalles is
you don't
not,
have any right
not, not the Dalles.
Yeah, we're not spilling the Dalles.
You won't spill the Dalles.
Not with 20.
Unless Noah's building an arch somewhere, you're not spilling on the Dalles. Dalles has capacity up to
the So we need to get a white paper together here.
I will have it to you within the next 2 weeks.
So we can get a recommendation with the attached white paper. That's what we need, and it's an engineering issue as well as a steelhead passage issue. What's the capacity necessary?
What's
the minimum within that channel that we think is safe from the channel? Because that'll be an issue. Just one gate may not be enough flow for a safe passage through the channel.
I did get some volume from district hydraulics on that. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. So I think it's 1,200 CFS out of one gate.
One gate. Okay.
One gate.
So
but I'll have to go back.
Maybe looking at that or through the channel, get somebody to take a look at that.
The channel's probably okay. It's probably
Blanker shoot. Looked at it.
More curious about.
About what?
The shoot.
That's what I mean. I mean the full route. Once it comes over the end gate and drops down and the chute goes out, that spot right there is I'd be most worried about.
Yeah. Schlenker gave
me. Are we going to go around and
check the back one again?
Okay.
Let's do it. Go on.
I think you need to establish the minimum amount of flow that you think would work both in the channel and the transmission.
And you're done with McNary debris, right?
And then the justification in terms of benefits. And then lay it out there.
Yep. You can lay out benefits.
Hmm?
You're going to get credit.
Oh, good God.
Put that in the back.
You know that.
And have to buy it.
Yeah, I recall that sort of thing's kind of rolled up. Green credit issue and vision talk to BCA.
It's the policy technical interface. That's kind of the issue.
I don't understand.
Yes. Don't worry, no one
knows. That's all.
First step, and we can have that discussion. I know that one. That stuff.
You
gotta
start somewhere.
Credit for Clearwater Leroy Steelhead, maybe a little bit.
I was gonna say that's gonna be
a little more imaginative than we were for the first round.
Yeah. I don't
know. So what about clear this up a week before the next F-bomb? I'll have the white paper to the group.
Okay.
You're on. Okay, so let's move to some of these fish passage change forms that are sitting out here. Page 3 of 3. 811. That's you, Mr. Houseman. Sitting there. Turbine startup operation.
Yes, sir. I think I was just supposed to provide some more info on duration.
I don't think so. Wagner has a couple change forms in
for the hour that we're requesting to be changed to from 30 minutes.
Okay.
So it's less than 20.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Less than 20.
What was the question?
Were there any questions? So it's going an hour. That's less than 20 minutes for the roll-up. So you said it's going to be less than 20 for the slow roll?
Correct. And there's never any speed no load operation in
okay.
the commissioning.
Whoa.
It's always loaded.
Top of page 3.
15 change form. Bonneville 002.
That's the most provided.
Very bottom of page 2.
Parts on the bottom of page 2. Oh, yeah,
I get it.
How long does slow roll take? When it starts?
It was put in very bad. 2005.
Slow roll. I think it's programmed for 5 minutes.
I didn't get the page 2.
For powerhouse 2.
Starting to fade.
Okay.
You had that question, Gary, last time. About
I know, and that was my. I grabbed this, printed it, and I didn't see page 2. So I was. still commenting that you still need to define speed no load at less than 1% within the 60 minutes. So can we, within the write-up that goes in the fish passage plan, say, I'm okay with 60 minutes, it's what it has. We don't have the speed no load operation.
There is no speed no load.
Right, so we say that.
Sure.
And then say that in the actual write-up, say that,
okay.
And that the amount of time spent below 1% is minimized.
Okay.
Or I like your less than 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Minimize, less than 20, whatever you want to do, but just define
less,
that.
Less than 20, because then you know it.
Then I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Eventually, we're going to get this all into the load shaping or something, so we don't have to do this.
Okay.
So it's less than 20, ignore the minimized.
So. I talked to the Kangri who does the actual.
I just want a number. Commission. I just want to say, what does minimize mean? I'd rather have a number there that way.
Whatever's practicable.
Oh, stop.
All right, thanks, Bren.
So can we go ahead and just add those two?
Like, if you add those two,
and then
you're okie dokie.
Okay.
Okay.
Make sure you got Gary's okie dokie.
Thank you.
He's more touchy on this one than I am. Are you okay, Gary, with that? If they add less than 60 minutes, no speed, no load, and less than 20 minutes will be.
I'm good.
Then we're all good?
That's great.
We're good.
Are you happy, Lisa?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not as happy as at Palm Springs, but sorry.
You're still on point for the next one, too. For the next three.
Or false.
I provided language for that. I don't know if it's been. Have folks seen that?
It's in there.
Okay.
They printed it off recently.
Okay.
I added it.
15 bond 003.
Yeah, right after the last
one. Okay. It was just clarification to add a text blurb to replace the table.
Yeah, there was one. Hold on.
Okay.
Did you have a problem with this one?
Sorry. I tried to do all this morning, and there was an edit. I'll get with you on that.
Bond
003. He'll get you his edit.
Edit. Here it is. Edit. It says if that second line under in the added language says if the channel elevation is not maintained in the range of, isn't it just exceeds? Would that be better than?
Because the range is actually tighter, so it's like, come on, like, they wouldn't be
well, you're restricting the range. You're exceeding
the
range.
Conference.
Yeah.
We're back to so the numbers and stuff.
Sorry.
Or just exceeds instead of not maintained?
Yeah.
I don't even have it in front of me, actually.
Gary's been hanging out with too many lawyers of late, I've noticed it.
I have.
I have.
He's got
it. Way too many lawyers.
At least he hasn't become extremely risk averse.
Ah.
I'm still thinking about that for other people.
Okay, so we can change that, and it's all good.
Change that. Gary, it sounds like you got Gary's happy.
And then that leads us into our favorite one.
Our favorite. I like it how it's 813.
I'm like, you know what? I thought you guys wrapped this up.
We did until Dr. Benton over there decided to become my fifth grade child and ask for more. Some more? More?
No.
So, long and short, Brandon is looking over the data. He'll have that. Supposedly, we talked to Verisage about the Wheeland report, because all we right now is we have a PowerPoint presentation. That report is supposed to be, I think they said, the next 2 weeks it should be coming to the core. Once we've got that information, we'll take a look at that. Brandon will take a look at how often we actually even ran outside of these time frames to see if we have that many data to take a look at this. The other question we had is, if we say, I mean, Gary and I are going to have arguments on this one, but what if we say the low end looks okay, we're not so sure about the upper end until we get the fix of the gate wells. Does that give you guys the flexibility you need, or do you need the whole range?
In August, Han, I'd like the whole range.
I'm trying to throw you a bone here, and you're not working with me.
I'm trying again. But even though a unit isn't being used physically, it can be used as reserve and other things. So that's why the restriction, even if you don't technically have it spinning like
the
that,
conference.
Yeah.
I
mean, the problem is, when I took a quick gander at this, and I haven't taken the detail that Brandon is, I don't know if we have any data of them running at the upper end of 1% to look at what fish condition is for sub-yearlings, so that's going to be the problematic.
Has anybody done that?
That was the whole idea.
Brandon's supposed to be looking at that, because...
And he's not ready yet.
Well, then what are we talking about?
Well, part of it is
because they want an update.
They want to get it done.
Is it an update, or are we trying to? Are we trying
he wants. He wants an okie dokie, and I say I can't give it. I can't give.
Yes or no. Right?
And I can't give you. I can't say a yes right now. I need to see the Wheeler report. I need to see Brandon's information. I will go.
How we operate normally in August is to put as many units on as possible.
Exactly.
As possible.
So,
but it's not. It doesn't say you couldn't pick up in an emergency to go in the upper part. So that's why I would like to have the whole range.
I know.
So it physically won't do it very often, if ever. But it could.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but anytime I agree to this stuff, it always comes back and bites me. So I want to take a look at the data as best we got.
We get more time. This is
that's a little different than what you were saying earlier about the bringing units on off all the time. So there's a couple of different.
Well, he's saying that's the lower end. For the upper end, that helps him with his emergency issue, which you think is going to be rare and.
It doesn't happen very often.
But it does happen.
It could happen, yes.
They are available unless we restrict them. This lifts the restriction.
I hate we giving carte blanche okie dokie without having some data.
Last time we talked about upper end coming together, that's never going to happen. It did.
So once we get
but
Wheeland's,
if it doesn't affect things. Is the other problem.
What doesn't affect things?
Affects something.
The larger fish that we have in August, the very few that we do have, don't seem to be having the problem, and that's what we're trying to find.
That's
they stopped our analysis on July 31st because they couldn't find anything more.
Well, no, July 31st. The reason Brandon didn't do any more information is they didn't have hydraulic information. So he's going to get the hydraulic information to then correlate to the condition. Once we have that, we'll know if we see something in the gate well.
Mm-hmm.
Wheeland's report, I will talk to him afterwards. He was starting to look at it, I'm guessing, hopefully a week or two. I will get back and get a confirmation from that.
A week or two for a while.
For when Brandon will have the hydraulic data updated, and then...
We have all that. Lisa gave us all the data. 5-minute data, which we're parsing out. Well, I don't know if they started.
Well, but I know because you guys had an issue with something else blew up on your system that you had that was higher level when you could no longer get data. So Brandon said he was going to get this when he could. I'm guessing it's probably going to be a couple of weeks. Wheeland's report is going to be in to us in a couple of weeks because we talked to Rarefish last week. And he says, Brad says, Wheeland's final report on turbine stuff that you guys are citing, which is all PowerPoint right now. We don't even have a report. That's supposed to be in about 2 weeks. So a bunch of information should be hopefully end of the month. Beginning next, we should have a bunch of stuff to be able to go through and see what we see.
Next step, Paul.
In the interest of getting something into the printed version, which is going out soon, what about the first change from April 1 through July 31, including that first step and also including the lower 1% range? So instead of just keeping it to that mid-range?
That's where I have concerns.
Okay.
And what we're doing, I mean... I guess it's. I kind of sat on this for a while because it's the issue isn't so much the gate well condition as it is the turbine condition, and I realize that's not the purpose of this whole mid range operation. But what we've seen in the model and through the work we've been doing in Mississippi that when you get into that low end, and I know the unit may or may not be running correctly, model, it looks pretty bad. So, and there was some indication, and it wasn't statistically significant in Wayland's data showing steelhead survival.
Steelhead was worse.
That great at the low end of the 1% and improved, and that was, you know, just looking at the data that he had. I'd like to see his report. So I guess I was hoping to get his report, plus all that work that they're doing down in Mississippi is supposed to come together in a report by the end of the summer. At least that's what I've been told by Bob Davidson at Verdict. I'd like to see that. I think before we go into this.
The summer's a little late.
Well, that's when he's...
Talk to the core.
You can talk to Bob about that, but for TSP folks. But, I mean, if we're going to make a change, I would like to see those data.
I mean, a change with no data.
What change do we make with no data?
We pick the end date just to pick the date.
Well, it's because that's the last bit. That's when we had data too. Since we didn't have any more data,
it's October 31st. This won't.
Well, October 31st is that's normal.
End of 1%. But yeah. That's the only reason that date was picked. It wasn't.
Well, yeah, because it's a consistent date we already have. We're just being consistent with what we already have with turbine offs.
Yeah.
So I don't see us being, I mean, that's a kind of a data set in stone. It's a normal date, so why wouldn't we pick it? I mean, if you've got a different date or something like that, let us know. We'll take a look at it.
No, we do. I've asked for August 1st.
Yeah, I know. And we're going like, well, it all comes down to is what do we think is the lower end? The current data we have says lower end of the turbine looks not so good from the turbine modeling, and still it doesn't look so awesome. Now, with the new stuff, with the new camcorders in there, maybe that's going to change, and maybe Gary is going to be less Gary-like, and I'll be nicer.
Okay, let me just throw another Gary-like thing out. As far as I'm concerned, what I'm most concerned about is the spring.
Yep.
And that was steelhead, and I'd like to see those data before we do this in the spring.
I'm fine with the midpoint if that's where you guys want to go.
In the spring
for now. I mean,
that's as far as I'm going. Summer, I'm not going to worry about that so much because we weren't seeing the data. Anything in Wayland's data, at least in the data we've seen, we'll show problems.
Yeah, and we'll, by then we should have Wayland's report, and we should also have Chalk take a look to see if he has anything to look at.
So yeah, I'm not going to stand in the way of the roll.
So we're going to put this on the agenda next month.
If we have data,
we have,
absolutely.
We have some data that we can get out.
Absolutely.
Look at it. Yeah. All right. Hold.
More.
Hold. Dal's unit priority. Bob, we created the table of the ops for the ice and trash sluiceway, so that's part of the new change form.
Very good job.
I also like your annual report, too.
Transformer issues. That's the...
Transformer issues.
Yes. Are there any? That was the question.
Yeah.
Are there any transformer issues? No. Okay. No.
There wasn't any transformer issues, were there? That was the big issue we had.
No?
Yeah, I checked with ops and nothing, and then I guess Scott checked into it too for EPA side.
Yeah. No, we're okay with it. It's when you put them all on at once that it's really a problem.
But yeah, you can select anyone. Okay, cool.
Right. Awesome. Did you have to run the ground? Originally, I started to remember why we put two blocks like that. It was because we wanted to have more units on it in the first block.
It's this fish lock issue.
So that was the whole reason that it's split the way it is to get two units on instead of just one to start with. But if you don't think that's a problem,
okay. Fish lock, you're going to use it.
Well, it was based on the work done by
By making it just a block,
it's essentially the same thing.
Is it always going to have two units on?
Unit one will always be on.
But
that's
unit
the priority. And then
three or four is always going to be on. Right now, you got either one or two on and three and four on. There's always going to be two in that block on. It's treated like it's separate blocks, but the block's like two units.
I got to think about it again now. I thought I had it figured out.
But, I mean, there's two 115 transformers. Unit one is on one. Unit one and two is on one. Unit three and four is on the other. The goal was to have the most units of those blocks, at least two on at all times. Your proposal would have only one on, and then you go to the next block, and the next block, and the next block. Then you come back to this one if you have enough units.
So, well, we had the first three units are 1, 8, and 18 automatically because those have the open sluice gates. And then your fourth unit would be one of those three in two, three, or four.
Yeah, I think it goes two, and that's two's not available. It goes three and four, right?
So it's not really one in each block. It'd be
any one of them.
Yeah,
it's
right.
The unit two. That would be your fourth unit. And then you move.
Okay.
And I'm assuming, and then Byrne just kicked me because this was Gary Johnson. We tried to make sure it was the unit adjacent to the open sluiceway opening. So if one's open, you try to get two. If two's not available, then you go to three. But you try to go to the one that's closest to the sluiceway, right? The sluiceway opening?
Right.
I think so. Just say yes.
One and or two.
That depends. I mean, if one is out, we'll move the...
To two, obviously.
We'll move the sluice gates to two if it's for an extended period.
Yeah.
And they're not automated, so that's great.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
it's an extended period.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it gives the same
amount. But
sounds like it gives you the same amount that we originally wrote it for.
The 12th.
When you go the
yeah.
Christ, man, back yesterday
the fourth unit on the unit there. Right.
Right.
You're good.
Okay.
So the next one is?
That's it.
No, fish lock. What is a fish lock? I wasn't attending F-bombs during this last one. I haven't even looked at this.
Oh, that one was just to have something in the fish passage plan. We're planned to have a backup system here. Construction started next winter, but we've never really had in the plan the ability to take water from the fish lock, which we can. We can get a couple hundred CFS. I don't know the exact CFS, but we can get some water from the fish lock. Right. So to have that as a contingency plan, we never had it in the fish passage plan. Yeah. And I just wanted to get that in there.
How many CFS is that?
A couple hundred
CFS, and in here we had pending that I needed to find out how much exactly plan? That was, and yeah. I have to go back a couple of years on this already. Yeah. Because I don't know what it was, and I wasn't able to find it yet.
Okay.
But, I mean, that shouldn't be a showstopper anyway. I mean, it's available water.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, you do it, I guess, just having it on paper.
Yeah, just to help remind people.
Break. Was this the one with the valve? Yeah.
It had two valves, and one was frozen and one wasn't. Did we test the big one or the small one?
Big one.
Okay.
So, Gary, you didn't want more information added to
the
FPP. You just wanted more information.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you looked at it, that it was not something that would break something or get stuck.
Every one of these.
Yeah, just
well, no guarantees there. But
yeah, I know.
No.
But we ran it and it worked.
Yeah.
So I ran the one valve.
But I was going to say, in the future, we might actually want to add this because some of us are getting long in the tooth. It may not be here forever, and people will probably forget about the fish lock again. So. So
yeah,
something maybe for next year. So I wouldn't worry about this year, but you know, we just might want to add that in there,
right?
Just so people can, as new people come on, they can like, oh, there's also this thing called a fish lock. What is that? And then they can figure it out.
Makes sense.
Because you think I retired, and I don't want to be here forever.
Well, I got the winning lottery.
All right, let's move on. We have a few more to argue about, and then we can call it a day.
For F-bomb anyway.
Yeah. 8.2 is some of the new forms that.
Did we already do the IC dash this way one?
At.
Oh, sorry. It's
the 8.2.2.
Yeah. Sorry.
You want to go there right now?
Because we're talking about the valves, so it seems like a.
I was thinking
logical
about the last.
So did I. So 8.2.2, the new table for the IC dash sluice way operation. Is it done?
Yeah,
that was
okay. So we did talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thumbs up.
That's what I thought. Yeah, thumbs up. How about the OVE FPOM coordination? Any issues with that?
Haven't looked at it.
So I think we just talked about it at the FPP change form meeting, and then they articulated that in writing.
Yeah, these are edits that we made all sitting around the table looking at the documents per your request for more information on the coordination process of FPOM and the role of the MOCs and the MFRs. So I added some blurbs in there, sent it out. It sounds like Gary was okay with it.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it, but I'll take a quick look. I'll give you the tentative thumbs up. If Gary's fine with it, he was the one that's having the biggest edit issues.
Okay.
So
they'll at least put it in the printed edition this year, and then if there's changes needed, we could modify.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I have heartburn with it, I'll let you know.
Do you have heartburn with the Appendix B?
Notification criteria?
So there's just some wording changes under collection facility operations that Paul proposed, and pretty minor. I think they're just updates based on how we operate now versus when the language was written. And that's true for notification criteria, the next one as well. So,
you know, I do have a comment on that one, though.
Okay.
When you have 6% for 3 consecutive days, there are some times, like at Bonneville, we might have just 10 fish, and you'll have one fish more. And, oh my goodness, we have 10% mortality rate. Well, what I want to avoid is having a sound the alarms for very minor incidents that could just be written in the weekly report versus losing 100 or 200 fish somewhere. So I would suggest some sort of minimum collection number or whatever. We never really did settle on what that number would be in the past, so it's open to suggestions.
Wonder if that could be tied in with the other analysis that someone was going to be doing, either Fish Passage Center or NIMS, to look at minimal numbers. And so that could maybe be some additional language. Maybe just a little comment inside here, pending adding minimum collection numbers.
Yeah.
Just put that out, and that'll note it. We'll make sure we update it then once we get it.
And I think on the FPC website, the asterisk
says 25. So that would be a logical place. Okay. So I don't know. Would you be comfortable with 25?
I'd be comfortable with 25, and it also ties in with the change in policy on column nearest that we talked about at the last.
That we approved during the Fish Passage Plan meeting.
Yeah.
So I guess being consistent there, and then if it goes out and we implement it and we have discussions, it'll be a place where we'll be fluid, have the ability to alter next year, or have in-season discussions if people aren't happy.
So are you proposing to change the column errors change form? Or
no, I think to make this number be consistent with that.
Okay.
We're on the same page.
Are you comfortable with that?
I would have to review what you're talking about and how it relates to the column errors question, see how similar they are in terms of that trigger. So I'm too
It's a minimum, yeah, it's sort of like if you're just going to pick something out of the air rather than put pending in there for this year until we do have more information, would you be more comfortable just putting pending what the minimum size should be rather than taking the same number? So, you know, the issue is largely that as you get, as was described, you know, when you get down to low numbers, you know, one descaled fish of 25
right.
collected.
But it is 3 days in a row, though, right? So you have to have that happen 3 days in a row, which would make it
3 days of over, I think, 10%.
If you're down to that, you're down to the bottom of the run. I mean, that's the last.
Yeah.
Probably, there probably would be 3 days in a row, which is just not that many fish left.
So the discussion was, just as Lisa's going to update this, whether you prefer to just have pending minimal number or go with the number that's in for column nearest, which is 25.
Or we could just take this change form that Paul submitted and approve it as is, and then have a new change form, because it sounds like some folks want to have some more time to think about the number and the criteria. And then that could be a new change form that changes in season, changes this. Section.
I mean, after talking about it, 25 is fine.
25? Okay.
I mean, that's why we came up with the colon era, so
25 it is.
Okay,
done.
Thank you.
Okay.
Are you getting hungry?
Yeah.
Let's go have a cookie.
With that, we're wrapping it.
We are.
I think we're going to have the avian task group meeting.
Oh, awesome. When are you doing that?
We do have the second appendix B change form, collection facility operations.
I thought you just covered
We covered them both. They're both approved.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're both approved.
I didn't hear
this. We're having that at, I guess, 1 o'clock.
Your question too?
Yes. Or get your lunch, come back early. It's okay, man.
See you. So that's the avian at 1.